Welcome back once again to the Retrocade Podcast, episode 29. It's the right episode, right, Sean?
That's it.
All right, I'm
research.
Phil. Oh, we Sean, did our research.
It's good to be back on the airwaves.
We are here.
A little of a hiatus, as we usually have.
Typical hiatus. I don't even feel like apologizing for it anymore because
it's expected, but it's the summer. You know, everyone's busy. The dog days doing what they got
to
do.
Dog days of summer.
There's a lot to discuss here, huh?
Oh, we got a lot to catch up on. There's been a lot of stuff in the zeitgeist of pop culture. A lot of fantastic stuff, Sean. How have you been feeling about the last few weeks and what's been going on?
It's tremendous.
tremendous, huge, massive.
Quick shout out in remembrance, Anthony Bourdain. That was a touch.
Absolutely. Rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain.
I definitely looked up to him. He was definitely.
Absolutely.
His commentary was on point.
His commentary is fantastic.
He was a true poet when it came to just traveling and speaking the word.
Yeah. So, I mean,
give a quick shout out and our condolences to.
Him and his family and his friends. Absolutely. Because, he was. You know, of his craft, you know, one of the best, if not the best, you know, for what he did. And like you said, his commentary was just, it was very on point. And he had this unique view and this kind of sarcastic, you know, view.
He would get fucked up in part. But
yeah.
He also wasn't this snob that, going to Michelin four restaurants.
No.
He would go to a Vietnam market and eat a meal in plastic chairs.
Yeah.
And truly embrace himself.
Absolutely.
His surroundings. And, you know, just wanted to give a little shout out to, you know, someone that I idolized and was very interesting, you know, throughout the years.
Absolutely. He had a mouth on him, but his heart was in the right place. And, he just spoke his mind. Very sorry to hear that crazy news, you know, when you wake up to something like that, when you hear that.
You don't expect it.
You don't expect it. So
move on to a more somber note.
Yeah.
We can start with Solo, which...
Solo. The Han Solo movie is out. All right.
So there's a lot of repercussions, a lot of events, and a lot of mixed feelings.
Relatively mixed. Well, what'd you think, Sean?
Okay. So, unbiased going in. We actually saw this together.
We saw this one together, yeah.
So, surprises, but just as the movie as a whole, okay.
We'll go with full spoilers here. People have had enough time to see it. It's been like a month, so.
So, as a whole... I didn't hate it at all.
That's a good start. You didn't hate it.
This is the thing. I have such a sour taste in my mouth from The Last Jedi.
How sour was your taste, Sean?
I'm very resentful and angry with The Last Jedi.
Are you that far? You're like everyone else now? I'm
pointing my finger at Rose saying, how dare you?
Rose Tico was the main culprit of that, that dumpster fire.
Should have died. A lot of characters should have died. We already beat a dead horse.
Yeah, they could have killed them off. But they probably had a three-movie contract with him.
Star Wars universe is in turmoil right now. There's a lot of divisions getting played and a lot of rumors.
And we'll talk about those in a minute.
Solo as a general. It wasn't terrible. I found it a little weird and a little ominous that in the theater when we saw it opening Friday, over opening weekend, we went.
Right.
And it was approximately about a third to half full.
Yeah. Well, I would say more than half. It was definitely like 75-80% full, but I don't recall people like directly on top of us, like not to the left, not to the right. It was not a full house for sure. It was not a full house, which is unusual for like Rogue One. When we saw Rogue One, it was a full house.
No one did no midnight showings for Solo, put it that way.
Not really. No one really gave that. Like, you know, I guess even the dedicated fans were just like, I'll see it when I see it, you know. And that's kind of how we were, although we saw it not the Thursday it came out. You know, you could see the midnight, but we saw it the next night. So we did see it pretty much immediately. But
for us, that's late.
And for us, what's
late? Every other movie at a midnight.
Any Star Wars that's come out, I've seen, like, night of or day of, going all the way back to the... to the special editions, even before the prequels, you know, except for The Phantom Menace, which we maybe saw.
We saw
Michael Bennett's birthday party, but that was in May. I don't know. That was probably
it was also 2001.
It was 1999.
Shit.
May of 99, because his birthday is in June, but he celebrated his birthday like a week or two before so we could go see that movie, you know. So, but we didn't see it the Friday. It was a Saturday.
So I'll speak about the pluses of Solo first.
Go ahead.
You know, some cool characters. I thought Lando wasn't terrible.
Lando was good.
There's no Billy Dee Williams.
No, he was good.
Childish Gambino did a good job.
I think he was totally serviceable to the character. He didn't do much. He did just enough where he didn't outshine Ehrenreich. And I thought he was okay. I didn't think he was amazing. I didn't say, like, but I think he
was an abomination. He was, which some people are pointing their fingers.
Are they? No. I thought it was serviceable enough. I don't think he really elevated or gave anything new to the character Han Solo. But it was like, okay, this is young Han Solo. I'm flowing with it. And that was pretty much as far as that character and what his performance as a character did for me.
So, I mean, issues I thought story-wise, the crime syndicates were cool. I think it could have been done better.
Did you like the worm lady, Lady Proxima?
I thought that was very cool.
I thought it was cool. It was very, it was like a, almost like H.R. Giger kind of alien, you know, alien from the movie, like, you know, stomach buster.
He was unexpected from the Star Wars characters that you see.
Yes.
To have this full insectoid.
Insectoid.
In the sewers, kind of.
Grotesque, yeah.
But it runs into the theme, if you look at Jabba the Hutt, he's a slug.
Yeah, sure, oh yeah, for sure.
And now you have a crime lord, female centipede in the sewers.
Yeah. So, I think maybe that would have did better if it didn't speak English. And I don't think they're doing enough of that. I don't think they've been doing enough in these new movies where the alien speaks the alien language and just put the subtitles. I think they could use more of that because, in my opinion, it's goofier and it's harder to take it seriously when you see a big alien slug just speaking English with an English accent, you know? Like, Jabba didn't speak English. He spoke in his language, but with subtitles. Hutties, yeah. Correct. So, you know, to me, that gives it lends itself to a little more, I'm going to say realism, but it's just less goofy.
Because think about it. Where did Proxima go tutoring in the sewer?
That's what I'm saying. And she's got an English accent. She's talking like an old lady to me.
She used to be in the sewers in Manchester.
How dare you, Han Solo? And it's like,
I think the weird beeps, clicks, and, you know, just some strange dialect.
Right.
Way more relatable. It's funny you're saying relatable. Like a centipede crime lord.
Right. But it's just less goofy.
Within the fantasy perspective,
exactly.
It makes more sense.
It makes more sense and it comes off less goofy. Like, remember, there was plenty of aliens in the original ones that didn't speak. They just put up the subtitles, like in Greedo.
Greedo, the first one.
Bib Fortuna. And there was no subtitle. You didn't even need subtitles for Bib Fortuna.
Not one Ewok spoke anything that you could understand.
No, exactly. And Jabba particularly. So in my opinion, that works well. And it works better because it makes itself seem more alien. When you have them speaking English again, it just kind of comes off a little goofier. It's a little harder to take it seriously when you see a big slug speaking English, you know, that's it. But like, other than that, I thought it looked very good. I think it was half puppet, half CG. I'm not sure.
I think they are making some effort to go a little more puppet.
They have been.
They learned
from
Revenge of the Sith.
Episode 7, they were touting practical effects. They should have just maybe thought a little more about the story instead of just quoting practical effects. But that was good.
I didn't like Woody Harrelson too much. I thought he was kind of...
I thought he was fine. He didn't bother me.
He was serviceable. He wasn't good.
Another service. You see, that's pretty much the name of the game in this movie. A lot of things were serviceable. Or at least, like, at the bare minimum serviceable. And like, so when his Rotten Tomatoes audience score is what? Like, it's in the 60s or 70s? Let's take a gander here. It kind of makes sense, but that makes it seem like it's bad. It's like, it's not bad. It's just, it's not like, whoa.
No, it wasn't a dumpster fire by any means.
Like, there was good callbacks. I'm going to be honest, though. I'll go right away and say the thing for me that was most, the audience score is 65%. That's the Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter here is 71%. A flawed yet fun and fast-paced space adventure satisfies newcomers to the saga as well as longtime fans who check their expectations at the theater door. Exactly. As long as you threw out your expectations as went in just to try to enjoy yourself with a popcorn movie, it was fine. Now, is that like the best thing to say about a Star Wars movie where some of them, you know, have been some fantastic films? Probably not, but at least it wasn't a dumpster fire.
And I think if you go back to when the Disney bought LucasArts.
Yeah, Lucasfilm. They bought LucasArts too, but they threw that out the window. That's gone now.
These were the big concerns. And, you know.
Sure.
The first of the new trilogy came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was very well done. And people kind of, Oh, no, Disney knows what they're doing.
Oh, you talk about the Force Awakens.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, wow, this is phenomenal. It gave you excitement, you know?
Right.
And now you're looking at all these kind of corporate tentacles just doing this pot of shit. I feel like it's... Unfortunately, I'm not excited for the future. Well, I think Star Wars is trending downward instead of upward.
I feel like the corporate hands were more so involved in Episode 7. It was more the committee movie because they were like, let's do something, you know, new but not too new, but safe but not too safe.
But they want to cut into all these societal things going on, and that's not Star Wars. It's supposed to be this kind of space western. It's not supposed to be... Purple hair, lesbian general.
You took over Holdo. Well, there's.
It has to go back to the formula that worked and not try to appease everyone and be politically correct.
No.
It's the galaxy. It's not Donald Trump America. You know, you got to stop trying to please everyone. If you try to please everyone, you're not going to please anyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's the situation that's going on.
Why do you think episode the Last Jedi tried to please everyone?
Oh, without a doubt. Just the character, you know, the character assortment was just completely off-putting.
Are you just saying the demographics of it or the diversity of it? Was that your problem?
They tried too hard to just kind of
Are you saying
everyone
that
in place.
The diversity was forced?
It was certainly
so to speak.
Forced.
It was forced. Here's the for. Yeah, maybe so. I mean, you know, there could be an argument there. Like, I don't disagree that maybe... some of it was forced, or at least came off maybe less natural than some of the status quo things in the past. Like, you know, remember the first Star Wars 1977. There was no black people in it. So there's like, we need to put a person of color in this movie. So in Empire Strikes Back, they made it Lando, you know, and that worked out well because they chose a guy that can act and is smooth,
charismatic,
and charismatic,
and
smooth,
cape, and
everything.
Was just very likable, very approachable.
And he played like you picked the coolest guy to do it, and it worked perfectly, you know, like no problems. So when you have
I have no issue with diversity. It's just I don't like when things are forced for no reason. You have the story flow naturally and not insert random character here, this demographic.
Yeah,
that's...
I mean, you could definitely say that the Rose Tico storyline, you know, they pushed it in there for that purpose.
Yeah, that was, you know. And then there's all this riff-raff, all fanboys, you're blah, blah, blah. It's just go back to the formula of the Star Wars greatness and let it flow naturally. That's my biggest qualm.
Yeah.
Now, Solo, as you said, it was a popcorn movie. It didn't force anything. And it had some interesting surprises, with the end being... epic. Now, this is a huge spoiler for anyone not, you know, hasn't seen the movie, but at this point, you're not going to see if you haven't.
Right.
Darth Maul. Now, this is tremendous. This is massive. Highlight of the movie.
That was the highlight of the movie for you?
Completely out of left field. Like,
yeah, I was surprised.
You had no clue you would ever see him again in a movie screen.
Well, I mean, I figured they would bring him back for an Obi-Wan movie, but now it looks like they really might, because now they're testing the waters. Let's see. Because, like, even though, you know, remember, with Episode 7, they tried to throw out, they didn't mention the prequels really at all. So they really tried to make it seem like they didn't exist again. But now they're realizing, hey, there are certain things that the fan base, or, like, should I say the aging fan base, the ones that grew up with the prequels, were now aging, like us. We're, like, 30 and above. Because think about it. If you were 13 during Episode 1, and you might not have hated it in 1999, you're someone in your 30s now. So you're, like, the aging part of the fan base. You're not old enough for the original trilogy, but you were right in the middle.
So we're not 60, but we're 30.
Yes. We're the prequel generation. So now you have people looking back to the prequel generation with nostalgia, and now people are saying, you know, hey, you know, those movies might not have been the best, but Darth Maul was certainly sick. So people are looking back and saying, like, what they liked about it, and Darth Maul is definitely up there on, like, top five things that people like about the prequels. So now, you know, they dug him up. Not to say that he wasn't dug up in other things like the Clone Wars, and they brought him back in Star Wars Rebels. Yeah, the animated shows and the comic books. So he's there. So now they made a movie official. He's alive and well.
Funny is within nostalgia purposes and merchandise and just the time of life when the movie came out. The prequels, Episode 1 is my favorite, hands down.
Oh, really? It's better than the Revenge of the Sith?
It's because at the time I was more hyped about it. I bought all the action figures. I was playing Pod Racer.
That's so fun. Oh, well, I love... It's so funny because I'll play Pod Racer today on N64.
It's not an easy game.
No. Well, you know what? I had the expansion pack, and it does wonders for the graphics. It ups the graphics. It actually makes it easier to play because you know how the background, like, in the distance, it's foggier? There's a term for that in video games. When it doesn't have a very far distance because your Pod Racer goes so fast. So when you can't see what's coming up because it's like foggy, and then by the time it comes up to you, you crash. The expansion pack for the N64 actually...
Did that come in Perfect Dark?
The Perfect Dark needed it. You know what it came with?
I think you bought Perfect Dark. It came with it.
It might have. I don't remember. But I know it came with Donkey Kong, I think. Donkey Kong Country,
yes.
It came with it.
Donkey Kong 64.
Donkey Kong 64,
another
yes.
Great, you know,
another great game.
Remember the rap.
It was funny because I was just watching a video the other day. The reason it came with Donkey Kong wasn't because it utilized the expansion pack, was because there was a glitch in the software code that made it crash. And right before it was coming out, I think, for the Christmas of 98. And they were like, oh, shit, this game is crashing. What do we do?
It's like they're blockbusters for the holiday.
Exactly. Big deal. Like, we can't delay this. It has to come out for the Christmas 1998. Now, what do we do? Like, well, the simplest thing is just to bring the expansion pack with it.
Like $7, $10.
I think that they said what they were. They were probably $30 to buy in stores, but for them to produce, it was something like that. It was something around those price range.
But the amount of money they would have lost if DK
exactly
came out in February, March, not
exactly
Christmas.
Exactly. So they needed
to. That's pretty interesting. I never
knew
that.
Yeah, I just read a video. I just watched a video the other day on that, and because it's true. Because when you start that game, it says expansion pack need, you know, required or need, or whatever. And it's like, and apparently the game didn't actually utilize the expansion pack like to improve the graphics or the frame rate or whatever. But what it did was it stopped that crash from happening. Otherwise, it
pretty
would be more likely to crash.
My
yeah
favorite Easter egg from that game was like later levels, like the fat crocodile, King Croc, I think his name was.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah. That's a good game.
Anyway,
yeah,
you're like at his base or something. And inside his base, there's a Donkey Kong arcade cabinet in the game.
Oh, yeah?
And you can physically go up to it and play original Donkey Kong.
Oh, can you? Oh, wow.
It's a cool.
That's a cool little
time,
Easter egg.
You're playing an 8-bit game. Well, this isn't even 8-bit. This is God knows. But at the time, for 1998, having a game included in the game
was unheard of, and a very cool Easter egg for sure.
That was kind of my first. Yeah, I've always seen it in arcades, but I, you know, had exposure to arcades and it was dying.
Right, right, exactly.
So I
there were less
the
at the time.
The most I've ever played of Donkey Kong original was
within
that game.
Cool.
And then that kind of set the pace for my appreciation for it now, where that's my
sure
favorite
go back
arcade game of all time, just for the challenge and the
yeah,
mystique.
Yeah, very challenging. Yeah, that was, and of course we play it to this day when we go to
any
arcade
adventure. That's the first thing. That's the game we only play where we're like, all right, who's going to top the score?
Exactly, we go for that top score. We usually don't do that good, but we usually come like top three because I guess they shut them off and then they restarts, right?
Now you go to like the big places like Arcade Williamsburg, the big scores are on the board, and they're like surgeons and renowned players that want to get that New York City top score.
Yeah.
So people that don't know.
Well, Barcade in the Lower East Side, though, I feel like the score is always different.
Those scores aren't official.
No.
Williamsburg is like the official.
Yeah,
that's
yeah
where they go to play.
Right, right, right. Which that's a good one, too.
Everyone's seen Darth Maul fall down the shaft, get cut in half.
Exactly.
So give people a little synopsis as to what's happened to him after that and how he ended up in the movie, which probably takes place, let's say, 15 years after.
I think they say, well, yeah, sure. So let's go with the timeline. So apparently when he gets cut in half, he salvages himself. I don't recall how. I believe they say it in the Clone Wars or something in one of the comic books. But he gets metal legs.
Well, he had spider legs first.
Yes, spider legs.
And he was like crazy.
Yes, they've given him, it seems, in this movie more just regular legs. In fact, that's what turned it, because I was like, is that just a, what is his, species? There's a name for it. Zabrak? I think it's Zabrak or something.
The horns.
So, yeah, the horn species.
People
don't
know that his devil look, those are tattoos.
Tattoos, yes. Those are just supposed to be tattoos, exactly. In fact, I was just playing Battlefront 2 the other day, and I'm in Maz Kanata's castle or whatever, and then there's a Zabrak like in the corner with like purple colored face. But exactly, those are just tattoos, but the horns are
no,
their actual.
They said he like lost his mind because he was like floating in space or something.
Oh, wow.
And he had these spider legs and was like a complete animal. And then someone found him and like kind of resurrected his brain.
Oh.
And then he had like assassin droid legs, which were still weren't practical. And then the legs you have now are like his fully. These are like cyborg, like
yeah,
legs.
They're like, well, exactly. When you see him on now in the movie Solo, you know, he's in the hologram. But I, when I first came on screen, it was like, is that Darth Maul or is that a different one of his species? And then you see the metal legs. I was like, I guess that's him. And then he whips out the double bladed lightsaber, and it's obviously
what was
him.
His name? Ray. It's the same actor as our episode.
Ray Park. Is it Ray Park played him?
He did play him. Good. I read that. Same great actor.
Yeah, just probably different voice because Ray Park didn't voice him. It was a different actor that voiced him in the original movie.
10 lines in that. Yeah.
3. At last we reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have our revenge. If our trace is correctly, I shall find them quickly, Master. And then when he gets cut, I think that's it, right? I think that's it, though. That's all he says.
In the story, also, the Emperor washes hands of him. Think you're a failure. You're a loser.
Yeah.
Oh, you survive. Vader killed
him. Yeah. Pretty much.
So he has this resentment towards the Empire.
Yes, exactly. He's bitter as fuck. So now he's just doing
like
his own
a failure.
Thing. Yeah.
So now he's like, all right.
That's kind of how he was in Rebels. I did see him in Rebels, and it was good. It was good.
Because he hates Vader because Vader is who he wants to be.
Yes, so exactly. Vader took his place.
He resorted to the crime syndicates to kind of get back to the Empire.
Right.
And he does his skills that he can being
so
clandestine.
I'm trying to figure out how many years before was Phantom Menace. So Phantom Menace to Episode 2, that's 10 years. And then was it 3 years to Revenge of the Sith, that's 13 years. And then so it's probably about 20, and then it's 20 years to A New Hope, but Solo is 10 years exactly before A New Hope. So it's about 23 years after he gets chopped in half. So he's a bit older now.
Yeah, he looks a little aged.
But obviously still very powerful
like
the Force.
Recovered from his traumatic Obi-Wan slice.
Yeah, yes, now he's like kind of a little bit in command of some sort of crime syndicate. So
if you look, well, at least the lore I've read, the boss of all syndicates will always be the biggest syndicate master.
Naturally.
It's Prince Izor.
Oh, sure. Exor. Well, Prince Izor of Black Sun. And Black Sun still exists in the canon, but I don't know how much of Prince Izor exists in the current canon right now. Oh, they should definitely bring that back for sure. Like they brought back Grand Admiral Thrawn. Definitely bring back Izor because that's one of the best.
He's such a huge character that never really got immortalized within popular,
well, he
TV
did, he,
shows.
No, because he never
only
really
had it was the 164 game, which you don't actually physically fight him.
No, you fight his your minions and everything. You fight his big robot at the end, the gladiator robot.
Yeah, and you like destroy his like space squadron.
You destroy his skyhook, yeah. But it was more than just the video game. There was a full book on it. That was a whole multimedia project because the way
I read the book, phenomenal.
I have the book right in there. Yeah, it's great stuff. Even Lucas is quoted saying, I don't know where this is quoted from, but I've heard this before, that Lucas said if Shadows of the Empire, if that story was written in the 80s, he would have totally made a movie on that. Because he loved it.
And you had IG-88, you had Boba Fett, you had very cool characters.
It was like a gritty in between because you had bounty hunters, you had Dash Rendar, you had cool planets like Ord Mantell, which is a trash planet, which is mentioned in the movies. He's like, well, that bounty hunter that we ran into in Ord Mantell changed my mind. You know, so like good canon stuff.
And like Luke's in the game for
Gal Spaceport.
Tiny bit, but
yes,
he goes to Tatooine.
A side character. Yeah, so he picks up the plans to the lightsaber.
There's some shit at Obi-Wan's abandoned house.
He's going to pick up the plans
and
to the lightsaber.
You gotta escort him there safely because everyone's trying to fucking get him. Because
Jabba heard about him, and Jabba is...
And the Empire wanted them, so they offered a big reward.
They offered, exactly, so they brought the swoop gang on him.
So Jabba's like, get that for me.
Exactly.
And then
you have to... It wasn't even Jabba, it was like Bib Fortuna telling them that, Bib Fortuna was like, blast his bones to bits. And then
it's such awesome cameos within like the criminal part.
Criminal part was very
cool.
That's
like if Solo was done in a good story, what Shadows of the Empire could have been.
Exactly, like gritty and dark, and like with cool, gritty locations like Ord Mantell.
And like you're in the sewers.
Sewers of Coruscant, Gal Spaceport, all of that is
and
fantastic.
And you're like a Han Solo that's not witty. You're just a badass
exactly.
dude.
You're more like a, who could we compare him to as Kevin Costner or something to be play Dash Rendar, but somebody even more
not
gritty.
Kevin Costner.
Somebody
like
more
playing
gritty.
Baseball in the cornfield.
Yeah. Well, somebody more gritty. Can you have like a more gritty actor?
At the top of the head, I could equate someone with him. I just gotta think about it.
Somebody a little more gritty, maybe. But for but that whole video game is great.
And I mean, Josh Brolin comes to mind because he's
Josh
perfect.
Brolin would be good. Josh Brolin,
you know,
would
he's
be
Cable
good.
Crushes.
Josh
it.
Brolin,
he's...
actually, yeah. Well, we'll go into that for sure.
I could see him wearing the vest.
Yeah,
he'd be perfect.
In fact, him as Cable looked just like Dash Render, actually.
Same kind of clothes.
Maybe a few years younger. Because how old is Brolin? He's got to be 55. He's not young, and he's got to be on steroids, because no way he's that jacked real life without steroids at that age.
Yeah, you know, nutritionist, steroids.
Definitely steroids, 100%.
Doesn't hurt anybody.
All right. I've been working out for 10 years. Nobody gets like that at that age, naturally. But that's another story. You gotta do what you got to do to make the role. But he looked great in that movie. We'll get to that in a minute when we finish up here.
So I think would be an awesome project, which could be done, and is very realistic within Disney's means, is you follow the DC... Marvel hasn't done it too well. You follow DC kind of archetype. You make an adult, PG-13 type animated movie of Shadows of the Empire.
That would
be
cool.
Famous voice acting, do great animators, and you make an animated Shadows of the Empire.
I think that's a great idea or a cool idea. I just don't think it's going to happen. They like to make their own fucking... I think that what they're all the best that we could hope for is that they cherry pick from what we like. That's why I say make Prince Xizor canon. Don't make Shadows of the Empire canon just because they're not going to do it. That'd be like saying make Heir to the Empire canon because the stories have been told already. They want to tell their own new stories. But at least cherry pick.
Xizor is such a fucking awesome character.
Absolutely. But so is Grand Admiral Thrawn. Grand Admiral Thrawn is even more loved than Xizor.
And he was on the trash heap and they saved him.
And they saved him, thank God.
Because they realized.
They were like, oh shit, this is a canon.
We can use this dude.
But that's the point. It's like at the very least, cherry pick, take the good stuff. And if you want to switch the stories up a little bit and make them like surprising. Or whatever you want to do. But definitely bring back Xizor and Black Sun. Black Sun, I do believe, is still canon, though.
They are canon.
Yeah. I believe
they
that's
were,
still canon.
I think there was one blurb of them in Solo. Because they were mentioning other syndicates, and the Black Sun was mentioned.
If Black Sun wasn't mentioned, there was a similar name, because I do remember that.
I think he mentioned three syndicates, the guy with the scars on his face.
Yes.
And I believe Black Sun was mentioned once in the movie. It's possible it wasn't.
They definitely mentioned, because I would have really remembered
they're the biggest syndicate within all... of the syndicates within the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. I'm so nostalgic for... I think they did mention it. Let's see. Everything you need to know about secret character Darth Maul. I'm taking a little gander here. But I'm very nostalgic for... not just nostalgic, but it really was. And it was Shadows of the Empire wasn't just a video game or a book. It was a multimedia project. Because the thing was that in the mid-90s... there wasn't much Star Wars going on, so they needed to kickstart Star Wars to come back because they had the books come out, I think 90 or 91. They had the Heir to the Empire books, and that made some interest. Now
Star Wars is dead in the late 80s.
Dead in the late 80s until those books came out, and those were like new...
But at the same time, the kids weren't reading these novels.
No, those were for people that were in their earlier 20s, exactly.
So people that were... watch the 70s Star Wars were, you know, at that time.
They're going to college, and
our age now.
Exactly, and that was for them.
That's who was marketing.
It was marketed to them, and that was like their sequels. You know, like the Heir to the Empire movies were like the sequels to those people.
But you know what, though? My favorite book, I haven't read a Star Wars book in quite some time, at least maybe 2 or 3 years.
I audiobooked a few recently.
But I read a ton, and my favorites were the early 90s books. I'd say from 1997
but those are
everybody's. Down. Is the best Star Wars literature on the planet.
Absolutely.
The year 2000 up, for most of it's trash.
Yeah.
I'd say 1997 down, Star Wars literature is
fantastic.
Phenomenal. And there's, Tales of Mos Eisley Cantina.
To bring the fall of Obi-Wan and the two Sith Lords, Maul built the Shadow Collective. He constructed the group comprised of the worst of the worst criminal organizations, including Death Watch, Pike Syndicate, Black Sun, and the Hutt Clan.
Seems that they're canon.
So if they're canon, that means Xizor's got to be canon.
That means there's a chance.
Unless they're butchering Black Sun without him, you know. But no, if you have Black Sun, you need Xizor.
I knew there was a mention.
It says it in that article, so hopefully that article's accurate.
That mention means there's potential for him to be alive.
That's all you need, yeah, because you can't have Black Sun without Xizor. He was the leader of it.
People remember what Xizor looks like. I'll give you a quick... He's big reptilian look. Yeah, he looks like a reptilian.
Reptilian
green face.
Yeah. But more humanoid than, say, Bosk, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't have like a crocodile face. He has like a human face,
but green, scaly. Like, with like little bumpy, but not to the level of Bosk.
And he's like, yeah,
not more humanoid than Boss.
Wait, yeah, he doesn't look like, you know.
And he's got like a ponytail.
Long ponytail in the back, and wears this kind of purple regalia.
Yeah, yes. But cool, like regal, badass, like muscular.
He almost
like,
looks like a reptilian Asian emperor. Like, yes, that's how he's kind of dressed.
Yeah, almost like Shang Tsung, but from
green
Mortal Kombat.
More reptile.
Yes, but green and more reptile. Yes. But
very
great,
awesome, underrated character.
Absolutely.
We give him some play.
For sure. I would hope that comes to it. But yeah, that was a great multimedia project in general, Shazam, because again, like you said, in the early 90s, they had those books, but by the mid 90s came around, there wasn't much Star Wars going on, but they needed this peak interest because, like, all right, we're coming out with these special editions, and then those prequels come out, so we gotta do something. It's like, alright, we're gonna come out with Kenner, the 1995 Kenner toy
Power
line.
Power of the Force.
Power of the Force 2 line comes out. That's actually considered Power of the Force 2, not Power of the Force 1. Because Power of the Force 1 came out in 84 with the little with the little coins. And so they actually consider the 95 line the Power of the Force 2, even though it just says Power of the Force on it. But yes,
that
they came
line,
out that line.
That line touched my life.
Well, of course. That was the line we grew up in.
That's how we became friends, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And as we discussed, all the figures look like they're like Rambo
muscular,
on
yeah.
steroids.
But that's why so many people, especially the original collectors, hate that line. Because it's like, what the fuck is this?
I love that line because I was 7 years old. Well,
exactly.
Like,
we grew up with that
cool.
line. Cool. Yeah, those were the Star Wars figures of our generation. So, of course, we're going to love them. So yeah, that, and then so they whipped up this multimedia project called Shadows of the Empire, which was the book, the video game,
and the toys,
and also and the comic books by Black Horse.
So Black Horse, I don't have much of them, but I did buy a
Boba Fett. They still exist, right?
Yeah, but with the merger, Disney took over.
Disney acquired them, right?
They acquired the publication
rights.
Yes. And then Dark Horse. I mean, I'm sure they print something. But I did buy a Boba Fett omnibus by Dark Horse.
Did you?
Essentially, I think it was like 12 stories. It's about 12 comics in a book.
Right.
And it's the best Boba Fett stories.
Nice.
And it's different artists, you know, so there's different styles. It's fucking awesome.
Sick, yeah.
I don't know if they sell it anymore.
That was the omnibus that you showed me that one. Yeah, that was nice. It was like a big graphic novel full of
Boba Fett
anthologies.
Comics.
Yeah.
It's just different stories,
cool.
one-offs.
Yeah, it was thick, too. It was like, 120 pages?
You had a bunch of different cameos of
other characters.
He's riding around with Zuckus.
Yeah.
Another time, you know, he's arguing with Dengar.
Yeah, exactly.
Tons of cameos.
Yeah, of course. That's cool stuff.
Bounty Hunter cameos.
Sure.
You know.
Of course. Yeah, that was a sick book. You showed me that
one. There's no fucking Luke Skywalker walking around.
It's
parts of the galaxy.
Exactly. All the grittier underbelly that, you know, you don't need to see Luke Skywalker pop up in.
90% of the book, there's nothing to do with the Empire, nothing to do with the Rebellion.
Yeah, it's just side gritty shit.
Side gritty alien fucking.
That's presumably how they'd make the Boba Fett movie, although I'm sure there'd be Empire thrown into it. But that seems to be
from Logan, that's allegedly. So let's talk about this big rumor that everyone knows about.
Sure.
Since the kind of farce of Solo canceling.
So now yesterday's big news is that because Solo, now Solo isn't oh my god, look at Jurassic World. So see, Jurassic World's come out today. Their opening is 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. That movie must be really bad.
I didn't have high expectations, but we'll
no.
get to that.
We'll get to that. In fact, we'll probably have to, we'll see that soon and get
That'll
to that
be on
next
the next cast.
That'll be in the next cast where we'll talk about that abortion. But you see, so Solo, not a critical disaster. Like, listen, it doesn't have bad 71% and 65% totally passing.
Serviceable.
Serviceable at the very pretty much the bare minimum. But like, I'm not like, I didn't come out displeased. I was coming out satisfied. Like, I wouldn't give it 65. Like, what would you give it? What's your percentage here, Sean?
73.
Yeah.
I get up to a 75.
Yeah. I'm going to go 74, just a little under you. So we're right on the money here. I was thinking in my head 73 myself. That was the exact number.
It's
but I'm
passing
like
passing grade.
But I'm like, okay, yeah, I think a little better than passing just because the only thing
80 I think is good.
The only thing that bothered me about that movie, I'm going to be honest, the only thing I didn't bother, none of the characters bothered, not even L3 bothered me.
Well, L3 bothered me tremendously.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Glad you mentioned L3.
Sean's got a rant about that for 10 minutes.
I've never hated droid more in my life.
Yeah.
It's just...
No, I wasn't.
You want to talk about?
I wasn't a fan, but it wasn't like a
robot that had a sexual agenda. What the fuck? Okay,
What's his name?
Calrissian.
Calrissian pansexual. How do you fuck a robot?
And she just, you know, it was unrelatable. It was nasty.
Yeah. I'm not gonna go nasty. I'm gonna go unnecessary. And if you're
literally,
gonna,
I never had a more forced lesbian robot.
Yeah,
I've
there's
ever
just
seen.
No need for it. You know, there's no need.
Usually, like C-3PO, awesome. The guy from Rogue One, awesome. Usually, droids are characters you root for. They're clever and they're funny and quirky. Look at BB-88.
I'll use L3. I'm gonna
worst droid ever created movie in Star Wars history.
I'm gonna go ahead and say, but luckily it was scarce in the movie. You know, it wasn't that much of it. But I'll use one word and I'll say pandering. I'll go ahead and let's say
this is true. He could vouch. When in the theater when L3 got destroyed, I actually cheered out loud.
Yeah.
A little kid stared at me.
But they stuffed its brain into the Falcon anyway.
Horrible.
I don't know where your ship learned to communicate, but it has the most peculiar dialect. So now they stuffed that into the Star Wars movies.
L3, worst droid ever.
But other than that, and other than where the origin of the name Solo comes from, you're alone. Han Solo.
Very linear.
Unnecessary. I didn't need to
really
know that.
You
couldn't
think of something a little more clever.
I didn't need it. Stupid. It's too on the nose. I know the name Solo. It's like, well, he's a loner, so his name is Han Solo. Get it? It's like, yeah, I get it. Just like Luke Skywalker, like walks on the sky. We don't need to know where Shmi Skywalker got a name from. You know, I got the name Skywalker because I walked on the sky.
Like
it's like
Bebop and
it's
Rocksteady. Yeah, where do they get their names from?
It's pulpy. Who cares? It's. I mean, they're pulpy. They're not meant to like. You know. Who cares? Like, there's no need. Unnecessary. But those were the two things that bothered me. But
so
other than that
controversy.
Here's the controversy. So, apparently, after Solo, again, not critically doing terrible, but commercially. See, the problem is that movie
the
had...
The
Moolah didn't make it. So, you have $250 million budget, but they had massive reshoots, significant reshoots, that may have brought the budget up to $350 million. I'm thinking maybe less than that, but they're saying they reshot more than half the movie, so it could have easily been that. Nobody really knows the exact numbers, so there's a lot of speculation going on. So between that, saying it brought the budget up to maybe the $300 million range, and then you have to factor in marketing costs, which are huge. You're talking about commercials and, you know, and billboards and ads on the internet and et cetera, et cetera. That comes out. That can a lot of times hit the match the budget in price. So you could easily say this movie might have cost Disney a total of $500 million between the budget and the production.
So I'm curious.
And the
so I haven't
budget.
Seen much of like the toy line. I haven't been in, you know, toy stores.
Well, they have the Falcon. I mean, where are you going to go? You ain't even go to a toy. You can't go to Toys R Us anymore to find it.
I'm going to go on Amazon and browse toys now.
Yeah, you just see
sad
whatever they have in Target.
World.
It is a sad world. I have a bunch of footage from before our Toys R Us closed. Is our Toys R Us closed here in Staten Island yet? I think it's still.
I'm going to take a look.
Yeah,
I have some accounts over there. I'm going to pop in.
Go check out because before
that
they close.
Be a good Retrocade perspective.
I did a few weeks ago. I took a lot of footage from there. So I'll call it together and put it on the YouTube page. But they're almost
still
done.
Have that Sears. It's a backbone. It's one of the last ones left.
What,
still,
Sears?
Sears Staten Island Mall.
It's almost on its way out too. You know what? Before we had a party recently, and I bought like a tent, like a pop up tent from there. It was actually a good price. I went in there.
I like
I was
to
like,
support
Sears.
Them in a strange way.
Likewise. I mean, I don't want to see all these alive. American institutions die, but they're on their way out. There's nothing we could do. You could help them all. I feel bad because I'm looking at all these workers. You could sell two of the guys are clearly ex veterans, like in the you know, the hardware section, and I'm like...
That's what they were known for.
That's
had,
what I'm
like,
saying.
Craftsman line.
Craftsman line. Well, they even sold that line. They fucking sold it, so they don't even own Craftsman anymore.
And
so
that was like their bread and butter.
That was their bread and butter. They sold that Craftsman line, so when you buy a Craftsman tool now, you can get it at different stores, not just Sears. It's not even produced by the same manufacturer anymore, so it's not as high a quality
as
it used to be.
Fucking Hong Kong.
Exactly. It's not.
Else.
It's not the same quality. So they really fucked that company up, those scumbags. But this really, I went in there and I bought
like a canopy or something.
Yeah, just a pop up canopy thing for the party that we had, 10 foot by 10 foot. It was a good price. It was like $40. That's why I bought it. I was like,
reasonable.
All right.
You know,
yeah, I was like, oh,
better quality than a fucking Walmart.
It was funny because I what happened was that we set it up, and then it rained the night before the party. It was Memorial Day party, and it fucking broke. And I was like, oh fuck. So I went and I exchanged it. I was like, oh god. I was like, hey. And then they had a few other things. So I was looking. I was like, thinking. I was like, listen, I'll buy from them before Target if you know
so
to keep them
there,
alive. But they're gonna go under for
they're
sure.
They're opening up a gigantic bar next door. So I had a meeting with one of the
What's
owners.
What's the name of the bar?
It's gonna be like Tommy's Tap Room or something.
Yes, I did see that.
They're from Jersey.
Because I've been going to Staten Island Mall. they've did a lot of construction
all
on.
All the malls in America are closing. The Staten Island Mall's getting bigger. Avon Busters. I was there
I guess
today.
They're,
a meeting.
Oh, did you? Because I guess they're looking at the demographics on Staten Island. They're like, oh, everybody makes fucking $1 million a year. They're a bunch of rich people.
Staten Island, I tell you, it's in a time machine.
It's crazy,
10 years behind everyone else and everything.
It's weird. Weird place and time. But, yeah, so
right now, it's Staten Island, 2008. It's not 2018.
I know. Like, everywhere else, like, malls are going dormant and, like, ghosts, like, fucking tumbleweeds are passing.
Staten Island
Mall,
bring it on.
They're doing, I know, they're doing double the construction. So they just opened the Shake Shack, which I tried the other day.
It's tremendous.
All right. It was all right.
I'm not going to wait a line for it. I ate there for free, which is cool. I sell them real quick.
I tell you, well, you see, the thing was, like, I had it when Citi Field, like, first opened, and I didn't remember how it was, so I was like, well, it probably was just average. So we went the other night, and it wasn't bad. It was fine, you know, whatever. Burgers and shakes.
I'd rather eat Five Guys, personally.
That's what in fact, after the meal, my girlfriend and my parents and everybody pretty much said that. It was like, it's like Five Guys.
Same price.
Yeah, same price. So,
I think Five Guys to me is
Five
a
Guys,
tastier.
Yeah. Well, Five Guys is like, to me, like a burger that was just grilled. Like, I could grill it. So I was like, oh, all right.
There's like fresh toppings.
But that's what I'm saying.
It tastes fresher. The fries are the best. Like,
From Five Guys?
Shake Shack fries are just like generic.
Well, they're crinkle cut. They're almost like
the
Nathan's.
Same fries at White Castle. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I guess. Both White Castles are a little soggier.
It's a little lower quality, of course.
Yeah, greasier.
You're not going to Shake Shack 4 in the morning. You
know, no.
When you pounded a few beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got that at 3 in the morning. I go to my White Castle and have a diarrhea in the morning. Yeah.
Per the tradition.
But, yeah, where do we go off
Sears,
this tangent? We're going back to Sears?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
finish your Sears.
I'm over there.
Sure.
It's like stationary bike for like $200.
It's not bad.
I saw it. I'm like,
I wonder if these are liquidation prices or are they just like trying to compete with like Walmart
and
Target.
I'm thinking about buying it, dude. It's nice. I looked online, same shit on Amazon, worse quality for the same price.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can not buy it on Amazon.
Exactly. Well, that's what happened when we went to Sears. It was funny because my girlfriend bought one off Amazon, these 10x10 tents, and we were like, well, we're having a lot of people. That's not enough tents. I was like, why don't we go to the mall? So we went to the mall, and we're walking through Sears because now they're doing
parking. Yep.
Exactly. They're doing construction stand on mall, so you have to walk through Sears.
They had to give them a little perk in business.
It had to, because otherwise I wouldn't be walking through Sears.
Exactly. So it's like JCPenney. Why the fuck would I be
exactly. JCPenney's next after Sears for sure. So I'm walking through Sears, and I see a tent. I'm like, oh, look, that's a similar tent than what you got. And then I was like, oh, look. I was like, the one she bought was $70 on Amazon. It was Amazon Basics tent. And this one was $40. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I'll just buy this one right now. And that's what I did. And it was...
I buy Amazon. Like, I'll buy comic books or stupid shit I need.
Sure.
But when it comes to just practical items, I avoid it. I don't need
to. No, you're better off
by
not.
Buy Jeff Bezos.
Yeah,
fucking asshole,
they're ridiculous.
You know?
And there was a huge ruling today about the sales tax thing. That's going to really be a change in the e-commerce world. I'm concerned about it because I'm in that business. But we're not going to talk about business right now.
So... Moving parts.
Moving parts.
Next big flick, Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. All right. I saw it the other day. It took me a little while to see it.
Me as well. My friends saw it way before me. Everyone.
Yeah.
So I saw it
well,
last
that,
week.
Sucked a lot of business from Solo, but probably not more than, you know, we're saying, you know, because Solo looked like it was doomed to break even at the best, but they definitely lost like $150 million. But Deadpool did good.
It's a good. It wasn't like a complete smash hit.
No, it wasn't a massively smashed hit.
But it didn't lose money.
No. And
it had generally positive reviews.
And Rotten Tomatoes is scoring that at 82%, which is a bit better than Solo. 86% audience score. I might go a little higher than that in the end here. What did you like it?
I actually liked it more than the original.
I think I did too. I wasn't really chuckling too much in the movie until he made the spoilers, of course. His like fake
squad.
Team, his squad, and they all died instantly. I was cracking up during
that
scene.
That was great, and they play like.
ACD. Yeah.
And they're all jumping out
and everyone's just, oh, they're all scrubs
this,
and they all die.
The invisible guy, you see his face when he dies, it was Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
And then
yeah.
They just have like a random guy like Glenn or the hell his name was.
Right.
The
yeah.
The guy's like, motherfucker.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
Wants to, oh.
He fucking kills the fucking, see,
the
pedophile.
The reasons I liked it was, I don't think he wasn't a pedophile, it was just like some creepy old guy.
The bad old guy? But weren't they all pedophiles?
No, I meant the guy in the X Squad or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Generic guy.
Yeah, just generic white guy.
He wants to help the guy in the tree cutter and
yeah, he gets chopped in.
Acid dude.
He gets burned by acid dude. Yeah.
Domino's actually a character in X-Men lore and all that. And that's sure. why she was the only one that survived.
Right.
And, like, you couldn't see Terry Crews like being a major part of the movie.
Sure.
He was there for comedic value. Now, what I liked about it in the positive points.
Sean, you having trouble with your microphone there?
Yeah, I moved around a little bit.
You fouling the whole thing up. All right, so Sean, what'd you like about it?
Yeah, so no, it was funny. It had some cool cameos. I thought the Juggernaut was tremendous.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it was so funny because we went with one of my girlfriend's friends, and he was like, oh, I think the big guy's, the big, like, maximum security guy is Juggernaut. I was like, you're probably right, actually. I didn't hear any spoilers, so I didn't know. And it was. And it was a really good rendition of Juggernaut.
See, the key was he had the helmet.
The proper helmet, sure.
The last rendition was a big Australian guy.
Yeah.
Running through
I'm
walls.
The Juggernaut, bitch. And I'm like, ugh.
It's funny, they kept mentioning Black Cassidy.
And yes.
So if people don't know, in X-Men lore, he was like Juggernaut's boy. And he was this Irish guy. He wasn't black at all. He had kind of a staff. He was a villain, low-level villain. But him and the Juggernaut were together for many parts of the X-Men comics.
Right.
So it's cool they mentioned that as far as cameo, even though he wasn't in the movie and they didn't really...
Sometimes you just need a mention, like back to Solo for a minute, like they mentioned Bossk. They just said his name. They were like, we should have gotten Bossk to do this or something. They said something like that. So sometimes
that.
You just need...
Missed
you missed
that.
It? Oh, they said it.
And, I, you know,
and you're a
Bossk
fan, yeah.
Huge Bossk.
They said it, yeah. So it's not. Sometimes you just need that. You don't need to be like, here's Bossk, you know, unless you're going to give him something. But sometimes even just a mention is enough.
It's good that he's still just alive.
Exactly. And that's all you need. But, yeah, so those mentions work very well.
Positive about Deadpool is they kind of, yeah, in the beginning of the love story, but they strayed away from that.
Right.
And Deadpool's not about a love story.
No.
It's about him being an asshole.
It's him being an asshole and the funny humor that goes around that.
Cable, phenomenally done.
Oh, yeah. Cable was good.
He felt forced, like he didn't belong in the movie.
But you felt like they shoehorned him in?
They definitely shoehorned him, but he was super fucking cool.
Because he was the bad guy at first, then he's not the bad guy anymore, you know?
And he had the kind of cyborg eye, the rough and tough space kind of renegade.
Yes.
Mentions Hope Solo, Hope Summers, which is his daughter, a huge character in the X-Men.
Right.
Now, the X-Men versus Avengers, she was a big part of it.
Sure.
And people don't know is he's Cyclops' son.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's why he's from the future, quote unquote.
So he was really cool.
Yeah. He looked great. Josh Brolin looked good as him.
Josh Brolin, man, he's on fire right now.
He's on fire. He's Thanos. He's fucking Cable. He's going to be the human flame, the human torch in the next Fantastic Four movie.
I don't know about that.
No. I'm just calling back to Chris Evans being everybody. He's the human torch. He's Captain America.
There is some news on Fantastic Four. Marvel is rehashing the comic after about 3 years on the fucking block.
Yeah, well, they better do it. I don't know if they could ever do it right.
And they put Doom back, like they're all tying. Like, Dr. Doom's back in play.
Right.
And they said they're putting that back in play with the tying of Fantastic. Because you can't have Fantastic Four without Doom.
No, you need Dr. How could you not? How could you? It's like, how could you not have it?
But even the casting, I thought it was well. I thought Domino was cool. She was likable.
Yeah.
I thought, like, the New Zealand angry kid.
Angry flame hands kid. You liked him?
He was likable.
Yeah, it was fine.
He had his, like, angst, but he was, like, a enjoyable character.
Sure. I don't hold, like, the Deadpool story to as a high standard as some of the other ones just because it's more humor-centric. So, like, as long, like, it's, you know, as long as, like, the story is good and I'm entertained along the way, you know, and like, it's with humor, you know, I get satisfied leaving, like, those, like, the first one and this one. And I was cracking up at points, you know. It's kind of hard to make me laugh with this Hollywood humor sometimes.
Yeah, I generally laugh maybe 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I was cracking up when they were dying because I was like, oh, they're killing them all. I was like, that's funny. And the ways they were doing it, just like.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was the shredder.
The helicopter,
the bus. Terry Crews got smashed into the bus.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, so that stuff was funny.
The music, you were like, psyched.
Exactly. Thunder. Ding, 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 ding. They're just all getting killed.
That was probably the funniest part.
That was the funniest part. I was cracking up during that part.
My man, TJ Miller. I don't think he'll be in Deadpool 3.
I'm surprised they left him in Deadpool 2 after his most recent transgressions.
I'm a fan of his. I like his antics.
You like his off-screen antics? Calling bomb threats on subways? What an asshole.
He's on Amtrak.
It was Amtrak.
The girl didn't want to blow him, so he had to do what he had to do.
What an asshole. What a moron. Some people.
Well, you're an alcoholic comedian. You do questionable things.
Yeah, quite questionable. So they left him in there, thankfully. Yeah, Deadpool 3, they might...
But you still like the end. He had X-Force kind of walk in, you know.
Yeah,
he had Colossus, and he had, like... Even the X-Men lesbian chick was kind of... She's likable.
Super Negasonic...
Whatever her name is.
Negasonic Warhead.
Japanese, like, girlfriend.
Yeah. Negasonic Warhead.
It was
Warhead.
Cool they had the little X-Men cameo where they closed the door.
I like that, too. He's like, can't even get any of the X-Men, and then they're all in that room, and like...
Was that the full cast? I couldn't really tell.
It was a full cast. The question is, was it CG? Or did they film that in an earlier date? Because it didn't look like that was the same set.
Was that James McElroy is the question. You couldn't.
Yeah, in the chair, right?
Yeah, like yeah. Xavier.
No, it was totally him. It just, they probably shot that at an earlier date. I don't think they shot that at the same time.
No way.
Yeah.
And all I saw was him and Beast. You couldn't really make out the other characters.
Well, Beast closes the door, right?
And you see,
they're all there.
You see Xavier turn his head.
Exactly.
And, like, wave to close the door.
Yeah.
Like all these idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't really make out the other characters in the back. Beast and Xavier are the only prominent ones that you saw.
I mean, it was for a split second. In fact, if you blinked or turned your... If you're, like, busy munching on, like, candy in the popcorn, you could have missed it. I was thinking about that. I was like, if I turned my head or was looking at my phone at all, I would have missed that.
See, what was cool is if you looked at X-Men history,
mm-hmm.
Colossus and Juggernaut have a way... candid history of fighting each other.
Sure. So you, yeah. Because
so
they're
cool
the big,
they
they're
got to
big,
fight.
They're the big physical badass mutants.
But Juggernaut, without a doubt, is stronger than fucking Colossus.
Yeah, naturally. Juggernaut's like a dangerous bad. Like Colossus is mad beast, but Juggernaut is like epic beast. You know, like almost, like big baddie beast. You know.
I mean, it would be cooler if you had the red guard than the
yes.
Gray.
Why was it like grayer ish? It should have been.
I also didn't like it. He was wearing his fucking jumpsuit the whole time.
Yeah, he didn't.
I
would have
liked his more traditional.
Yeah, armor. I know. That's the thing. He only looked like Colossus maybe from the helmet.
I meant
up.
Juggernaut.
That's what I meant. The Juggernaut from the helmet up, like and he's still wearing that jumpsuit under it. He could have pulled it off and had his full gear on.
That's what I was. You know, I was disappointed that he shouldn't have his full garb on.
Right.
But.
And like you said, it wasn't like that copper.
But at least
color.
He had the helmet. If he
yes.
didn't have the helmet, I would have been like, who's this? This
yeah, who's this?
The helmet is makes the character.
Yeah, and it looked good, you know, for the most part.
And I wasn't expecting that. I honestly...
No, yeah. They pulled down his pants and shoved the cables up his ass.
But, you know, he was cool, and you see him walking around with a little boy.
Oh, boy.
I hate these guys.
I'm angry at the pedos.
They're like, let's kill them.
Yeah, let's burn the building down. Yeah.
Nah, very well done.
Good.
I laughed.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I definitely left entertained.
That's a movie
and...
I could watch again if it's on TV. You know?
Exactly, yeah, because it keeps you entertained and it's not the same beats.
You realize Deadpool 1's been out for a long time and it's in no media. It's not Netflix.
Is that 16? Is that February 16? I remember I seen it.
It's been 2 years, I know. It has to be.
Yeah, because I saw it on Valentine's. It was like a Valentine's release. It was February. So I think it was February 16. Let's see. Deadpool 1.
Is it too raunchy for Netflix? Or
February 12, 2016, yeah. Box office, $783
million. I think it's A.
Budget, $58 million. That's very profitable.
That's the first foray into rated R.
Yeah.
And Logan copied it.
But and you see the little? He's got the little Logan on the spike in the beginning, yeah. So this movie so far, what's its box office? Well, not obviously done. So far, it's made $690 million at the box office. Its budget was doubled to $110 million. Still very profitable for...
And it's under the radar, you know, 20th
Century
talking
Fox.
About it. It had, you know, the only marketing I've seen for it within like a retail front is 7-Eleven. You go to 7-Eleven?
Yes. Well, I've been seeing tie-ins with like these Hot Pockets. Like I'll see... on YouTube, there's like the 5 second ads that you could skip, and one of them's like, it's for like not a hot pocket, but it's like these microwavable like paninis, and it's like Deadpool, have you sold out? He's like, of course I have, sweetheart, and then it's like for hot pockets.
Funny,
Deadpool.
Is it they think the Deadpool fan is a fat asshole that goes to 7-Eleven and microwaves paninis?
Of course it is. Who else would it be?
Because you go to 7-Eleven, it's just
neckbeards.
Shit everywhere, all over.
Oh, of course.
It's Deadpool this, Deadpool that.
Yeah, that marketing campaign is...
But when I see people wear Deadpool shirts, they do look like they would buy their groceries at 7-Eleven.
Or Dollar Tree.
Their sodas.
Yes, they're going to buy the 3-liter of cola, a giant slushy for the day, Yeah, for sure. Like you said, those little circular taquito things.
You don't see Deadpool at Whole Foods. You
no, you're not going to see Deadpool merchandise or marketing at Whole Foods, but you will see it at 7-Eleven. They have the red cherry red Deadpool slushy slurpee.
Following your lead, I like to buy, you know, oh, this is the burger for this.
Yeah.
So I'm in the ferry. I have some accounts there, and the Dairy Queen's there.
Oh.
Try the Jurassic Chomp cheeseburger.
No way. Did you try it?
Oh, I tried it.
How? Now, this is a little premature because we haven't seen Jurassic World yet.
Correct. So they're doing a big marketing.
I'm sad that this Queen. Rotten Tomatoes score is so low, but we'll talk about so low. But we'll just like Solo's box office.
That's it.
But, okay, so you...
So I had it.
Yeah.
I had the Jurassic Chomp Blizzard with it.
Wow.
Now, that was delicious.
Was
that,
it ice breaking? Was it...
That I recommend to anyone. It's just like peanut butter.
Does it have like little pterodactyl bites in it?
They're called Jurassic Chomp, but it's just like...
Chunks? Does it have chunks of...
Chocolate peanut butter candy within like okay. peanut butter.
Was it like a peanut butter cup kind of thing or just...
Similar.
Yeah, okay.
Fucking delicious.
Yeah.
The burger was okay.
Yeah. I was never a big fan of Dairy Queen's burgers.
Yeah, you eat it, then you feel like shit for the next
You totally feel like shit afterwards. But that's what any, like, low...
You have, like, that dry sweat.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel... Your fucking stomach feels heavy.
Yeah, you're late. Yeah, you're tired immediately.
You feel like the grease is coming out of your pores.
It's like
yeah.
when you watch the documentary Super Size Me. You just feel
oh,
like
yeah. Him. You totally feel like Morgan like, Spurlock before he pukes all over the place.
You just want to vomit and cry.
Now, that's a good documentary. That started the whole... They got rid of the super size because of that documentary. What was that, 2004? You know what?
It's still watchable to this day.
I saw that Netflix when Netflix gave you DVDs. That's how long ago I got that. Like, before streaming was prevalent. That's how long ago I saw that documentary.
Netflix, but I'm not of Netflix. Like, my friends and many people are. No, I watch what I would need to watch, but
yes.
I don't...
You don't go out go out of your way. Yeah,
I'm
some people, they live by their Netflix shows.
I'm not a binge guy.
You know
like
what?
Some,
yeah, you told me that. You know what I started the other day? I started Ozark. Because my girlfriend was like, let's try Ozark. Jason Bateman. Yeah. And I'll tell you, my girlfriend...
He'll always be Bluth to me.
Yeah, he'll always be Bluth over the rest of development, right?
The new season I've watched...
You know he was a child actor, too?
He was.
Yeah. I didn't know that until recently.
80s before our... We
yeah, in the 80s,
shit.
Sure. So I told my girlfriend, I was like, this show... And she was like, that's an absolutely correct... thing of the I said it was it's like a combination of Breaking Bad and American Beauty, the show.
So I've never seen American Beauty.
What? You gotta go back and watch American Beauty.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, you're a Kevin Spacey fan. You'll never see anything from him again. You better go watch his great.
I became a fan of after his controversy. This is
typical of Sean. I like him now. He's a pervert. I like him.
Disgraced, I figured I'd give him a chance.
He's disgraced. I'm going to give this guy a shot. He's a Hollywood disgrace.
It's funny, I'm watching it. And when this happened, I was watching like three movies in a row of his.
Yeah.
And my cousin comes, he's like visiting. He's like, Kevin Spacey again?
The usual suspects?
Kevin Spacey. Now you're watching, what's going on here?
Is that show pulled from Netflix, or are they just not making new ones? House of Cards.
It's not pulled. They just like removed his likeness and...
Wait. What if you go back to the first couple... Because I only watched season one of that show.
I never watched it.
Oh, no. I watched season one. I never got through it. They're too...
I heard
everything's too long.
Good things. But,
that's my problem with Ozark right now. So the first episode was good, and now I'm like episode six, and it's lagging, and we're just like, get on with it, you know? Like, I don't need... I don't need 50 episodes of the show to like slowly... Go where it's supposed to go. I'm
just sure
like,
I just started watching. I think their last season was last year. It was an FX show, The Strain. It's on Hulu. It's about vampires.
Oh yeah. All right.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
I like the vampire genre. If you like vampires, check it out.
Check out The Strain on FX.
What's the guy's name? Del Toro.
Benicio del Toro.
No.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he's this big horror movie dude.
Guillermo del Toro. Yeah.
So he's like produces it.
Okay.
And the special effects are good for the kind of gore.
And this is just FX?
It's an FX show. I think there was four seasons.
Done? Oh, wow, all right.
I think 2017 or 2016 was the last season.
Oh, okay.
But it's all on Hulu, and I'm on season two. I actually enjoy it.
You enjoying it?
Sean Astin's in it.
Oh, okay.
Some other names, but he was one of the bigger names.
Hot ticket names.
And he's just like a bumbling idiot loser in the show.
Sean Astin?
Yeah.
Didn't he always play characters like that? Like in 50 First Dates?
He plays
Mr. Frodo.
Mr. Frodo, share the load.
Mr. Frodo, it's me, Rudy.
It's me, Rudy. Put me in, coach. Share the load.
Put me in the Shire.
Share the load in the Shire. Yeah.
What else was he in recently? He was in something relatively big recently.
Yeah, he played something recently, right? He was in a he was in Stranger Things.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, yeah. Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And of course, I mean, he's
like,
in the Goonies.
In real life, Winona Ryder wouldn't bang him. Yeah.
She wouldn't touch fucking Sean Astin with a 15-foot hey, Frodo Ryder, ring.
I know I'm drunk, but get out of here.
Yeah, beat it, Sean Astin. Oh, sure.
Buy me some condoms. I'm with this new guy.
Yeah. Yeah. good show.
All right. Now, big topic here.
Real big.
E3.
Now. This is a multimedia podcast. We do everything from movies and shows and video games. So E3 was big, and there's a lot of stuff coming out here.
A lot of hype, a lot of big announcements.
Yeah.
A couple of names, a few that fall out.
Is there anything that you have been...
I don't know if you're... I'm pretty versed in Fallout. I'm a big fan. I don't
think well, they're coming out with, what, is it Fallout 3? Or no, Fallout 76?
Yeah, so it's hard gauging the timeline of Fallout.
Right.
So I believe this one... It's supposed to take place, from what I heard, I think West Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. And, so there was an announcement. Bethesda is, you know, they do Skyrim and all that type of stuff.
Right.
So they're kind of like a Blizzard-type company where they only come out with two or three games
and they're,
every 10
years. But they focus on them, yeah.
They're ginormous projects that the world hypes on.
Yes.
Coming out of Warcraft or Diablo where people go fucking crazy.
Yes.
And Fallout... Yeah, it's like a Mad Max post-apocalypse. It takes place in the United States, at least every version so far.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 4 being the last release.
Right.
And it's funny because Fallout 1 came out like 1995.
Yeah. There's a big following. See, I never played the Fallout games, awesome. But they have a massive following.
It's a lot of fun. It's a super open world RPG.
Right. You've talked about this in the podcast before, right?
I'm a big Fallout fan. So the game's super open-ended. There's different factions you can join, and the story alters according to... kind of what path you choose.
Right.
And it's another one of just kind of your... It's a shooter, so you get all these kind of... It's an open-world shooter. You get all these kind of guns and nukes, and there's mutants, and vigilantes, and renegades. And
vigilantes. Sure.
It's an awesome, awesome game. Sure. So this is a big announcement for a new game. People were thought maybe they're going to remaster Fallout 3.
Right.
No one knew what the project was. But no, new game. People are stoked.
Yeah, so that's big.
Another one, a huge fan. They're remastering, completely remake, full graphic overhaul, Resident Evil 2.
Right, that's a big thing. Everybody's talking about that.
That's regarded as one of the best survival horror games of all time.
Yeah, that's
cool. I think it was originally released in 1998, which would be 20 years ago.
Yeah, so they're just remastering the graphics, right?
This is a totally new game, but really, the first game was PlayStation 1, I want to say, 1998?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's gonna be huge, and it's the best. The games. I don't know if you ever played it. I remember playing it when I'm 10 years old, and you got kind of creeped out by it, you know.
Oh, Resident Evil.
And you know, you have no. It's one of those games where you have no ammo, and you're running.
Yeah, you're running. Yeah,
you're hiding behind dumpsters.
Yeah,
you have like one grenade, you throw it, and then dart. You know?
Exactly.
It's not like shoot 'em up.
It's more of like a survival style game.
Eight bullets. How am I gonna use?
Right. Exactly.
So I'm very excited for that.
That's cool. On the lighter note, we got the Super Smash Brothers part. What do they call it? Ultimate? It's Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Yeah.
What's cool is they're bringing back the GameCube controllers for...
Yes, for the Switch.
You have to buy an adapter, which they said they came out with an adapter for the Wii U.
You got to buy more things, of course.
And the same Wii U adapter is compatible with the Switch, from what I read.
If you're
10 people that played
the
Wii
U
and bought it.
If you're one of those 7 people out there,
Sterling, yeah,
one of them we know personally.
And your adapter's good to go.
It's so funny how that system came and went so quickly. But at least the Switch is a hit for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they couldn't afford two duds in a row.
No, they would have probably been done if the Switch didn't...
There's a lot riding on the Switch, but the Switch was a success.
Luckily for them, the Switch was a success.
I root for Nintendo I like to hit
I root for Nintendo, but at the same time, I scoff at Nintendo because of their idiot mistakes. I'm not like reveling in their failures. I'm more like, these fucking idiots. Like, they were on top of the world at one point, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And now they're just like scrapping by, trying to be like number 3 on the list, you know, at best. But the Switch is a hit, and you know, good games coming up. So they have Pokemon games. Everybody seems to be interested.
Pokemon game, it's supposed to be kind of a mix of Pokemon Go. And
yes, They're calling Pokemon Go Pikachu and Pokemon Go Let's Go Eevee. Let's Go.
Let's Go.
Yeah.
But I know Go is going to be compatible. I'm not sure how.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, they're going to, there probably maybe some trading involved with Pokemon Go. And also how you, which was the biggest bother for me, was how you catch the Pokemon. You're just going to be fucking throwing the ball at it like you did in Pokemon Go if you ever played that game. And that I wasn't a fan of. I was like, well, I like to battle my Pokemon and weaken them before I catch them in the wild. You know, I like to do that. I like, you know, that was part of the what made that game cool.
The one thing I liked about Pokemon Go was the scarcity of rare Pokemon.
Yes.
I think Pokemon is a collecting aspect to it.
Of course.
And I want a Pokemon like, you know, Omanyte or Porygon to be super fucking rare. Like
right.
They are.
Or Omastar, at least. Or like, you're not going to find an Omastar in the wild. Like, you have to evolve the Omanyte that you
even
get.
Even, like, finding a Scyther is fucking difficult.
Yes.
You know?
Or, like I remember, like, finding a Dragonite, ultra rare. Like, in fact, the only time I even found a Dragonite in the wild, I was in Monterey, California. We came out of a Denny's, and this was at the time, that summer, 2016.
It's the only time I've ever seen someone so unified for a game.
I know. Everybody was out playing. In fact, not that long ago, there's an area on Staten Island called Richmond Town, and it had a ton of people playing when it was popular, but not that long ago, maybe 2 months ago.
They have events now.
Exactly. So it must have been an event night, and it was packed again. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I was almost going to whip out my phone and start playing, but I was busy. I was just driving through. But it was cool because you had still a bunch of people, not as many yet. Like, it looked like a fucking block party when that game was popular. But at least there was still a lot of people playing.
Yeah, late night drinking party, and we're driving around looking for trouble.
Looking for trouble.
We end up.
What are you, the Warriors?
We end up at the pier in South.
Ah, yes, which is another popular spot to put Pokemon Go.
Drinking there, and it's hot summer day. It's probably like mid late July.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be at least 200 people playing Pokemon Go at midnight.
Oh, yeah. On the it was very popular at that time of night, like July 2016.
Girls, guys, yeah. 15 to 30 years old.
Yeah. Well, you see, that summer when it was most popular, I spent 2 weeks in California. And it was like, so I missed out some of Staten Island's most popular event times for that. But I was in like cool, in different places. I was on the Santa Monica Pier and people were playing. There was Magmars everywhere. People were chasing. They're like, oh, Magmars. And I was like following in. And then I was in Monterey and we got out of a Denny's. And that's when I saw that Dragonite.
You
and
were
I
like, throwing your food. Like, oh,
yeah,
my
we
God.
Left the restaurant and it was right out like in the street. And I'm fucking like flinging Pokeballs and I fucking ran away. I was like, motherfucker.
My cousin told me a funny story. During that time, he had like an internship in the city or something.
Yeah.
He's waiting for the express bus to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at like a big park in Manhattan, right? So as the bus is kind of...
It was like Bryant Park or something.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So he sees express bus a block away. He's getting on the bus. And all of a sudden, he sees like a Nidoking.
Oh, shit. That's a rare find in the wild.
He's like, oh, shit, Nidoking. So he goes, he misses his express bus to catch Nidoking.
I'll get home at 2 a.m. It doesn't matter.
I asked him, I said,
was it worth it?
He goes, yeah, I got home 45 minutes later than I wanted to because I caught a Nidoking. I said, was it worth it? He said, absolutely.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, but that's how fun, that's how that game was, though. It gave you some joy.
That was a unique experience for the time.
Absolutely unique. But very fun and wholesome.
It brought people together in a way of you going outside and not just...
Exactly. So, like...
So, to go more into the Pokemon game that's released. So, there's a Pikachu version, Eevee version. Similar as Pokemon does.
Red and blue, exactly.
So, some are only available in Pikachu, some are only available...
Yes, and you'll have to fucking trade with each other or some bullshit. And they're also coming out with that little Pokeball that you bring with you. I forget what it does. It allows you to track your Pokemon or catch them or whatever. But it also...
Buy merch.
But it comes with a Mew. And I gotta be honest, if I get that game, I'll most likely be buying that toy, too.
Fucking Mew.
Yeah, I need the Mew, and I need to have the little Pokeball with me.
Mew, I would smash my Switch.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason.
What am I, the asshole of the fucking Mew?
I saw people getting pissed off that you needed to buy the thing with the Mew, but I'm just like, eh.
Did you expect different? Yeah.
Did you expect any different? We live in the generation now of downloadable content.
We game sharked our Mews.
Exactly. We game sharked our Mews.
The first
we went up and
Mew.
Down it's the SSN or whatever it was. Or was that for Missing? No. I don't remember.
I remember getting my first real Mew at a Pokemon tournament cards that we played.
Oh, yes. They came out with the promo
Nintendo
card.
Nintendo was there. No, I'm in a Mew in the video game.
Oh, really?
Nintendo was there.
Oh yeah, so and one of the mall tours, like, you mean, or was it just?
It was like one of the world. It was some event.
Okay.
And Nintendo was there. They were a sponsor, and they had like a stand, like, give us your cartridge and have one open spot on your team, and we'll get a Mew.
Oh, sick.
Level whatever, but sure. It was like an official Mew.
Official Mew, yeah. It wasn't a cloned hacked Mew, yeah.
So, no, there was like rumors of getting Mew where it was like under the truck at SSN.
Yeah.
It's all bogus. There's a real way to get it.
That wasn't the way to get it. I don't know. I got mine.
I discovered like 8 years later.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to talk to a trainer but not fight him. And yeah. It's like all this weird shit.
Yeah.
But no, the Mew is. And the name resonates with, oh, shit, you got Mew?
Exactly. It was that rare... how did you get Mewtwo in the original game, Red and Blue?
It was like Victory Road after you beat the game. He was, like, hanging out in this cave.
I don't even remember. That goes back like so Mount long. Doom. It goes back 20 years. That game came out 20 years ago.
I remember...
Long time has gone by since winter of 08. I mean, of 98, excuse me.
Blue and red, I know vividly, and then gold, silver. The last time I played religiously.
Oh, you still play? See, what happened was me, I had gold and silver, and that was right around the time I was phasing out of them. And then I think what happened was I lost the games, or somebody probably stole them, and then I gave up. Yeah, exactly. I went through the games, like, for Alligator, like, so I know sparingly, like, those, like, I couldn't name them all to you if you were like, what's the next one, the Pokemon after 151?
Well, we played Neo, which was the first set of cards.
That had those. Gen she two. Had Sneasel and all that shit.
Sneasel
and Togepi.
Was banned, if you remember.
Yeah, as a card for in the tournaments. Powerful. Yeah.
But that's the last card set I played.
Yeah, but I like if you asked me to name a lot of those extra Pokemon like Marill and shit, I wouldn't be able to name many more than the main ones like Lugia. Like that's all I remember.
Gen 3, I bought the game.
Yeah.
I never finished it.
Wait, is that after Gold and Silver?
Ruby Sapphire.
Oh, I never got
it. So I bought it. Yeah. Very disinterested at that time. Just had other shit going on.
Yeah, how old were you then? You're probably a teenager, right?
Yeah, so I bought it just for nostalgia and never finished it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Then I skipped two gens, which is about 6-7 years. And then I remember playing college. I was traveling.
Yeah, Ruby came out, and Ruby and Sapphire came out in November of 2002. So even those games are almost 16 years old.
Yeah, I bought it, didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Then I started playing again, Black and White.
16 million copies sold of those games.
College, I remember like being on buses for like 40 minutes at a time.
Sure.
So I was like, I'm going to whip out a Game Boy, and I started playing Black and White. And it was fun. I got back into it. I learned how to hack and shit.
What was Black and White after?
That was the last DS that came out. Not 3DS, DS, Black and White. Because it was Diamond and Pearl, I want to say.
Like, I'm going to have to look at like a Pokemon timeline because even I gave up. You know, I'm like, oh, they just keep making them. I don't remember.
So Gen 5, I played. At Gen 3 and 4, I stopped playing. Gen 5, I started playing again. Like, Gen 6 was XY, which I played, and then I skipped Gen 7. Mm-hmm. Which is Sun, Moon, and now Gen 8 is going to be the new one.
Pokemon Red and Blue came out September of 98 in America. I remember when they came out. Pokemon Yellow came out October of 99.
I remember Nintendo Power had a Pokemon magazine within it.
Right.
Pokemon Power.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember in math class, and Justin Oak, Peter Kahn were reading it. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
I was looking really fucking cool. Then the cards came, and then I was hooked.
Yeah, well, that's what happened for me was, so that year, that was fifth grade for us, September of 98 was when Pokemon came out. So just as the school year starts in September, Pokemon came out. And I remember, like you said, I remember this kid, Michael Bennett, had Nintendo Power. And I think he was talking with Peter Kahn. I was like, what is all this stuff? And it was like, oh, it's the new thing. This is it. You know, blah, blah, blah. They were raving.
What's that weird Japanese
shit? Of course. Like they were like the forerunners of it. I'm like, eh. And then like it started to become a thing. A few people brought their Game Boys in. And then I didn't have a Game Boy. I had a Game Gear. So that Christmas, a few months later, I was like, okay, can I get a Game Boy Color for Christmas and Pokemon Blue? And that was my gift for Christmas. And then I was hooked right then and there from December. So just a few months after Pokemon came out.
So I had a Game Boy.
Oh, you had one already. Yeah. You have a Game Boy Color or just a regular Game Boy?
I had a Game Boy Pocket, which was black
and
white.
The little one, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a thin one, sure. Black and white.
Okay, so you were already ahead of the curve. When did you get Pokemon?
I got it.
Before that Christmas, when do you remember?
Oh yeah, I got it before. Got super hyped because they were playing it.
Sure,
but they were
the forerunners.
But at
though.
That
was before
point,
it got super hyped.
Nerd kids are playing.
Exactly. Like for the first 6 months,
they
it was
would
just
show
the nerd.
It to me, and I'm like, "That's really fucking cool."
Right. Well, that's how I did it. I was disinterested like month one, like September, and then people started to play it around me, like on the school bus and something stuff.
First week of October, I bought it relatively early. I was like, "Mom, Toys R Us." I go there, and they had like very few left.
Right.
And I remember,
it was becoming very popular. My sister, right away.
Doesn't even know where it is. Oh, you get one, I get one. I thought
you guys both got one.
So I got blue, she got red and blue? I got blue, she got red.
Oh, that's funny.
And what's funny is if you looked at the printing on the blue cartridge, it was always a purple hue on the top.
Yeah.
Because the ink would get oxidized. Every Pokemon Blue, unless it's inbox sealed, would have a purple little hue on the top of the sticker.
Sure.
Just some kind of curious.
But you see, that would have been cool because when I got Game Boy Color, the original system was purple. The original Game Boy Color, like the first Game Boy Color that came out with, was a purple.
Oh, yeah, I had the Game Boy Color. It was like purple see-through.
Yeah, I didn't have the purple.
Dark purple and the purple see-through.
I had the dark through. Yeah, then they came out with Atomic Purple that was like see-through.
I had the purple see-through. Oh, you did? I still have it. It's missing the back.
Nah, mine's gone. My dad gave mine all away, all my stuff away. See, what happened was by the end, because we played Pokemon a lot, I had that. That was my original one. And then I won a teal Game Boy Color system, a Game Boy Color, but I didn't have any use for it. It was like an extra, so I had it under storage in my house, and then my dad like gave it away to my younger cousins. Oh,
imagine that in box right now.
Yeah, like, it was like fresh. Yeah, no, it
was
nice.
Sealed?
I'll probably rebuy everything on eBay now.
Shit ton of money.
I actually can't because it's funny because on my super,
it's like video game artifact.
It is like an artifact. You can get them on
sealed,
eBay. Oh, sure.
Shit.
Yeah, probably a few hundred, actually, on eBay.
Don't give a fuck.
No, yeah.
There's a million.
We all remember the Pokemon trading card game that...
At nauseam.
That came out in April of 2000. But I bought that game because it came with the Meowth, the card game Meowth.
The
video game, you know?
I played that shit out of that game, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what else we got for Pokemon games. So, we're going
to... Let's talk about what's coming on the pipeline, now the new stuff.
Sure.
About reminiscing how we got to Pokemon.
Let's talk about what's on the horizon. Okay, here. So also at E3, there was... I mean, there's Black Ops 4, which is a big deal. Are you as big a Call of Duty guy?
I'm not a Call of Duty
guy. No, you're not. I mean, I like them. I played World War II, which is good. I have that. That's good. But I don't play, I don't overkill them. Like, a lot of people, like, they'll play hours.
They were big in, like, 2008 when I was in college.
Yes. Black Ops 3, right? When we were
Call of Duty, I don't remember which one.
COD 3. It was Call of Duty 3. I guess.
2, actually.
I remember COD 3 in 2008. Because
they had the Nazi zombies and shit like that.
Oh,
it was really popular.
Whatever.
I heard now they're just zombies. They got rid of the Third Reich zombies.
They were a little bit too much for everyone.
People are like, oh, I'm killing fictional monsters, but they can't be politically fictional.
You can't have them political.
They can only be regular monsters.
No, that's too offensive. Then you have Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Actually, they're making Charlottesville zombies the next one. It's gonna be this whole you're in Virginia.
Very fine people.
And Antifa joins you.
You fight. It's Antifa versus Charlottesville. They should make a Call of Duty. That's money right
Call
there,
of
Sean.
Duty, Virginia.
Call of Duty, Charlottesville. Yeah.
Call of Duty, Charlottesville
edition.
Antifa versus.
Yeah, you throw like pipe bombs.
The alt right.
Yeah, the alt right. Yeah, that's a game idea right there.
That's money. That's money in the bank, as they say.
They'll be throwing tiki torches, flaming tiki torches.
Finish a game, you like ram a crowd your car.
Yeah. You have killed. You're like,
you have killed. You have died in honor. General Lee would be proud.
Oh wow! I got 3 medals. Yeah, it's premium right there. I'm looking forward to that. Resident Evil 2, like you said.
Sure.
Battlefield 5, which is a big deal.
Smash. From what I've heard, they introduced Ridley, which is a Samus villain. He's kind of this kind of space dragon guy. If you've ever played a Metroid game, you know who
Ridley of course.
Is. He's a big purple dragon dude.
So he's actually in Battlefield?
So he's in the new Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yeah, so he's like one of the only new characters.
Okay.
Now, there was a shit ton of DLC and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This game's going to incorporate every single character from 64
on to now.
Wii U. Every DLC, every character ever made is playable in this game.
Now, yeah, if you've played the last Ryus, Smash Brothers, they had like 40
Ryus,
characters. Yeah,
Cloud from Final Fantasy, all these different obscure guys.
As opposed to like the 12 characters that they had for Super Smash Brothers 64.
And there's a lot of there's almost too many Pokemon in there, you know.
I know, right? You almost play as all 151.
Jigglypuffs. Yeah. I thought Lucario was kind of underwhelming. You know, there's a lot of Pokemon in there.
Sure. What of the most recent Super Smash?
Well, yeah, it's gonna be the giant roster. The game's gonna be fucking.
They better have a lot of levels too. See, that was always my problem with the original Super Smash Brothers. There was only really like 3 levels that I liked to fight other people on, because all the other ones were kind of small to have like a full 4-person battle.
I don't like those maps that were gigantic either. There was some map, like I remember Zelda had one map that was just like.
Wait, but in which one? The N64 one?
No.
Oh yeah, but that's I'm just my problem was with the N64 one was that the only levels were like the Hyrule Castle, was it Fox's spaceship? Like those are the two that I like to fight on because everything else was like too compact for 4 people.
My all-time favorite song within the Smash Brothers, well, probably Nintendo song ever, is Jungle Japes, Donkey Kong Country.
It's oh yeah.
That song is so.
Oh, is that when? I love to play Smash Brothers when you had. Link's theme. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, this is just the
Nintendo, but I'm telling you, that Jungle Japes, Donkey Kong Country.
Jungle Japes. Is that the name of the theme?
Yeah, it's tremendous.
That's good stuff there.
Tremendous.
Jungle Japes.
Yeah,
we'll change our intro to Jungle Japes.
Nah, we'll keep our intro.
We like
our friend in Sweden.
Yeah, our friend in Sweden hooked us up. Jungle Japes. But, oh, wait, was that from Donkey Kong 64 originally?
It was for Super Nintendo originally, and then it became like the Donkey Kong Country theme.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they made new renditions for Wii
U. Because it's funny, because I look up Jungle Japes, and the first thing that comes up is Donkey Kong 64. Expansion pack included! They had to throw in that expansion pack.
The Star Fox 64 had the Rumble pack, if you remember. That was included.
Oh, yeah. That was those were cool, because that was the bigger... Yeah, it was like when you bought it in the store, it was like double the size of the box.
AA batteries too.
Was it? Might have been.
It was battery.
I remember it was big. I don't have. I still to this day don't have a Jungle Pack, and I never had a Star Fox. I played it a lot. Skippy, no.
Do a barrel roll.
Double barrel roll.
No, I got that for Christmas.
Does it do? Well, like 96 or something.
I think it was the year after 64 came out. It was probably
97. Yeah.
I was like one of my Christmas gifts, Star Fox.
My first two games for N64 were Mario 64 and Shadows of the Empire. And I played those games till high hell.
Was my first game. I think everyone's first
Everybody's game. First game. Did it come with the system? Or was No, that no. was probably... SNES came with Super Mario, though.
I never owned an SNES.
That's crazy. I know, you said that, I think, the last podcast.
I had NES. I had the Game Boy.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you had some... At least you had an in-between.
I never got a Sega or an SNES.
You never had Sega neither. Oh, my God.
I skipped that era. I don't know why.
Jesus Christ. You skipped that generation era.
I had to, like,
the whole thing.
Live vicariously through my friends and neighbors.
That's crazy. At least you had the Game Boy. That at least
Game
was
Boy
like a holdover.
Really for me, because that was like my system.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also...
You seem like a Game Boy kid. I didn't have one until really after...
I had a Game Boy.
Until it was the color generation. The Game Boy Color generation.
And they had a very impressive library of games.
They had a huge library. A huge library.
I think I had maybe... 12, 15 Game Boy games.
That's good though. Back then, because they were not they weren't that cheap, you know.
I was a big Game Boy guy.
Yeah, I had both the systems. Thankfully, I had Genesis, but Genesis came out what 90? It was pretty early.
So
this is
the thing too, as an NES guy, right? Uh-huh. I was buying. They came out NES games up to about 1993. So I was one of the last guys going. Like a new game for NES, I would buy it. You know?
Wow, yeah. Even though everybody was pretty much
moved
on to SNES.
Because
you had Mega Man X and shit at that point.
I remember buying Mega Man 6 when it came out.
Yeah, Sega Genesis came out in August of 89 in America. So it was actually, it was a powerful system when it first came out. But once the SNES came out, it became...
They said Sega Saturn was super powerful, but no one fucking bought it.
No one bought it. Or Sega CD, well, for that matter.
Dreamcast. Another
that was their
time.
Last failure.
Yeah.
I didn't have it. I went from an N64 to PS2.
The only thing I like about Dreamcast, I remember playing Marvel's Capcom 2 for Dreamcast. And
yeah, people had that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It came out for PlayStation.
I knew people that had
PlayStation
it,
2 with such a limited release.
Yes.
Because when they came out, Capcom lost the Marvel
license.
Rights.
Yeah, exactly.
So they only had it. It only Half came out for like, no. So they made the game for PS2, but only had a production run of about 4 months.
Oh, and then
so
they
only
ran
like
out?
Very, very, very few
limited
units were produced. I remember trying to buy that game.
It was probably worth a few shekels today.
I remember trying to buy the game 10 years ago, and it was for like $80 on eBay.
That for PS2? Let's check what it's going for.
Super 8, super expensive. Nowadays, with everyone downloading it, ROMs and shit, it's probably not.
Yeah, super rare, $70.99. Yeah, it's going for monies. Yeah, the box alone goes for $15, but it looks like...
At the time, when it was the only way to play it, it was, you know... Very lucrative, expensive, rare game.
Yes,
very limited production.
75, going for about 70, going for about 70 right now. They're at auction for cheaper, but they're not done. But going for about 70, yeah, it's a few bucks
for a PlayStation 2 game. That's a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this time
you can buy a Dreamcast game for like 15, 20 bucks.
Exactly. No old game. I mean, like even the most expensive N64 games only pull for like 30 or 40 bucks. But that's because those are the multiplayer games, and people, you know, unless it's Zelda, still goes for like 25, you know. But just because people still love those games, you know.
New Mario Party for Switch announced.
Oh, that's true.
That's a hell of a fun game. You got four friends, sit down, have some beers. It's a hell of a fun game.
No, Mario Party is another good choice. Although I didn't like that as much in regards to four players. I did like Mario Kart, just because Mario Kart's like fast paced.
I love Mario Kart,
but the thing
I'm
is,
getting desensitized to it.
The difference is that
I'm over it. I think. Really?
Oh, I love
that
game.
I played it for the Wii U. It was okay.
No, I can play that game.
I wasn't blown away. It was fun, but I think Mario Party is more
fun.
Well,
Mario Party has long.
Exactly.
Mario Party has a little more like longevity to it, like in regards to the night that you're playing it. So like Mario Kart can kind of get boring after like you play the four levels.
Yeah, you play for like half an hour.
Yeah, you play for like a half an hour. It's like, all right, we did this. I'm done. Anything else? Mario Party, you go for a little longer. Yeah.
You're like stealing stars. You're fighting each other.
Yeah. There was a little more.
Fuck over him. He's winning.
Exactly.
Like,
there was more to it, and you could play it for like an hour and a half. You could get a longer game out of it. There was different things to do.
Let's say 70 different mini.
How many Mario Parties did they make for N64? They made 3 or 4 of them, right?
I think I played up to 2. Was the last one I played.
I should rebuy those because I don't have those.
I played Mario Kart Party 1 a million times. My neighbor had 2. I played that a lot, and then it kind of lasted. They might have went up to like 7 or 8. I don't know.
For N64, they got Mario Party 3 came out December 2000. Mario Party 4 that came out in 2002, and that was for GameCube. So they went up to. I mean, they have Mario Party 9, 10.
Oh wow!
Yeah, 10 was in 2015. That seems to be the most recent
one. That was for Wii U, right?
Yeah, probably.
I would give the Switch a go around for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, Switch is a success, though. I mean, Mario Odyssey is a great game, but it's a bit short.
I never played it, but
I played it recently a few times.
My cousin plays it.
I didn't, finish it. In fact, I've been replaying.
My friend Steve says it's phenomenal.
Well, the problem is it's short.
Actually, my other friends, I'll give Comp a shout-out. This is a cast. He said it was a great game.
Yeah.
A lot of people liked it. I haven't played it. Mario, last Mario game I played was Sunshine Mario, where you like had a water pack, and it was 10 for GameCube.
You see, I didn't even have GameCube, but a lot of people touted Mario Galaxy, which I didn't play.
I didn't play that.
Yeah, but now Mario Odyssey is the new successor. I mean, it's just like you know, Mario 64, which is a fantastic game. Mario 64, I think there was more to it. The gameplay was longer.
Groundbreak is a 3D Mario,
of course, but they're still using that same style.
So one
game
I've actually played a little bit. I think I borrowed it from a cousin or something. It was Mario, Level Maker, whatever it's called.
Mario, Mario Maker, whatever it is.
Something like that.
You make your own levels of each game.
And it's because you download levels for free.
Yeah, Super Mario Maker, yeah.
So you download levels for free that
other people spent
hundreds of hours making.
Yeah.
And it's super fun.
Yeah, the mega crazy levels. Yeah,
I didn't buy it. So I played it for the 3DS, not the Wii U.
Uh-huh.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. It was kind of catchy, you know.
I played it for my boy had it for Wii U. I played it a few times.
They were developing.
There's a few levels where you don't do anything. You just people are set up where you just you scroll the character once and then he just bounces off his shit and just beats the if you don't touch it, it's it just goes on itself.
It's almost like you. The dominoes.
Or like a Rube Goldberg machine where you just and then you just go through the interesting shit like that.
So
people
they were
going
to make a Mega Man Maker like that.
Oh, really?
It got canned. But
oh,
it was
it?
In development.
That's
like
cool.
Make your own Mega Man game.
Yeah. You can make it super fucking badass.
Oh, you think Mario's hard, Mega Man?
Oh, forget it. You'll have all sorts of fucking bad guys shooting at you and all sorts of crazy shit. That would be sick. But
so they're actually making, I think, is Mega Man 11. It's going to be 2.5D.
Oh, 2.5D. Where are they making it for the 3DS?
No, it's going to be, it's one of those kind of buy, pay for download games.
Oh, okay.
It's
going to
be Switch,
games.
PS4, Xbox. Oh, wow. And I will be buying it as a passionate Mega Man fan that I am.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Big fan.
Their, almost 31 years old Mega Man, 1987.
Jeez.
That's older than the rest.
Except for Mario. Well, except, what year was Mario?
Maybe 86.
We'll see. Mega Man.
Mega Man 1 came out in 1987.
Let me see. Yep, December 1987. So that's
going to
be
box.
31 years. It's
the most iconic.
Oh, yeah, you have it. Yeah. That box is great. It's
the
like
most
a
iconic box art. It's
that
so
box
bad
art is great.
It's great.
It's so bad that it's good. Yeah, it's like a man on it, like
he looks like he's like fighting an alien war. It's a guy with like a gun and a gut and
it's
like,
so funny. Yeah, it's just like a guy. It's drawn, but it's like
the box art has nothing to do with anything.
So ridiculous, I know. Because there's like
it's regarded as one of those famous box arts.
Yeah,
of all time.
Because I know, and you have it. I've seen it. It's got a castle in the background, and then it's got like a man. Like is a drawn man. Doesn't look like a cartoon character. He looks like a man in a suit, but it's drawn. It's an artwork,
and he has like a physical gun.
Yeah, instead of the hand as a gun, he's got like a gun in his left hand.
I could sell that.
And then the yellow.
I could sell that for a pretty penny.
Do you have the game itself?
The game itself, the cartridge? Manual, and box.
not bad.
I could probably sell that for, I probably get like $300-$400 for it.
That box art's great.
But it's like an, as I said, it's like an artifact of video.
Oh,
games.
Shit, look at this. Somebody made an actual figure of it. Look at this. Somebody made a figure based on that artwork. Sean, check this out. Well, put it on the podcast page so everybody knows. Oh, did you board?
No, nothing okay. Spell.
Look at that.
That's awesome. That's fucking
isn't
awesome.
Isn't that hysterical? Worst Mega Man box art. They made a video game, it says.
It's the worst, but it's the best.
It's the worst. Look, he's got the gut. The character's got the gut, like you said. It's just like a man. Like a Mega Man. It's
like,
a man. It's
the guy's
dude.
Not even in good shape.
He's not. He's like a loafy
he's
dude.
He's like, oh, fuck, I gotta fight in this war.
I'm fucking
but
tired.
But it's in the future. It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
futuristic
he's a
outfit.
Future suit, yeah, yeah. And he's got like...
But he's like not equipped. He doesn't want to fight.
He's fucking sweating. He's like crouching. He's like, shit.
Best artwork ever.
That's a cool toy right there. It actually looks kind of like the fly, almost. The mask, anyway. Or was it the fly? Yeah. Or the tick.
I don't see that.
You don't see the tick?
I don't see that resemblance.
Influence?
No,
at least in the helmet part, I see it.
I love that box art, though.
That's
great. It'll always be a touching box art for me.
That's quality box art. We'll put that on the Retrocade Facebook page and also the Instagram page. Oh, God, that's hysterical.
So, yeah, we'll finish with Jurassic. I think it's...
Anything else? Well, anything else from E3 that we should mention? I'll just go through
the things that I was excited about was Fallout.
Yeah, The Last of Us,
Resident Evil. Last of Us. Did you play the original Last of Us?
No,
it's
but
a great, great game.
But I watched the trailer of of the game.
I played
it
for
it
PS3.
Good. Yeah,
they remastered. I didn't play the remaster. I played the PS3 the original version.
Yeah. Speaking of remasters, did you see? I posted on the Retrocade Facebook page the remaster of Star Wars Racer. And they actually upscaled the graphics to 1080p, 60 frames per second. It looks pretty smooth. It looks
That's
good.
That's one of my top cool. five.
That was a fun game, yeah. I never owned it. That
game.
Was like a game I like crave. Like,
I've never rented it at Blockbuster more
exactly.
than
exactly. I rented it, and also a few friends had it, and also they had it at the local McDonald's, like when they put the N64s out, like for people to play in the play place.
Those controls have a very slow shot life.
Yeah,
fry grease
and kids
bashing them.
If
I went through like 8 controllers a month.
Those joysticks fucking were probably like jelly after.
You play it and you get pink eye right away.
Yeah, they're fucking like sludge of scum all over them for sure. But yeah,
Dad, can you wipe me and then
yeah, exactly. Fecal matter all over the joystick. It's fucking dangling.
It's like when Wendy's got rid of their salad bar.
Oh, remember when Wendy's had a salad bar? That goes way back.
Outbreak of 96.
Who can forget? Oh, my God. Oh, we all got sick after that. I remember the one on Highland Boulevard specifically. That was probably the one that you went to on Staten Island.
I think that was the first Wendy's on Staten Island.
Probably. And that I mean, one had the salad
days,
bar.
There wasn't that many Wendy's.
No, no. I mean, they've propped up more of them now. But, yeah. That one was always, in the 90s, always had their old, the old school.
We have to look it up. I think around 98 to 2000 is when they phased out the salad bar.
Oh, God. We got to post that on the RetroKate Facebook page, too.
Wendy's salad bar.
Well,
if you think about it, salad bars don't exist in a grand scheme of things.
Not really.
You got to go to like a very niche place.
Yes.
Old timer deli or something.
Yeah, or like I think like the Sizzler or whatever had one of them. That Sneeze Guard.
Sneeze Guard
never really worked. The salad bar. That's so funny. It's funny because there's here's a picture of a Wendy's salad bar. This doesn't look too old. This picture though, but we'll have to. Maybe some of them still have them.
Yeah, not a chance.
You don't think so?
No.
It's phased out entirely.
No way.
Oh, it's so funny. You got the pieces of the egg. Oh, here's a Reddit nostalgia with the Wendy's salad bar. I'll definitely post a few of these pictures up. These are funny as fuck. But that goes way back. If anybody remembers Wendy's salad bar. But, yeah.
As far as their nuggets went downhill tremendously. They used to be really fucking good.
Yeah.
And now they got really cheap.
Yeah. You think so?
For that $1 price point, the production value went up.
Well, sure, because they kept them a dollar, and they were like, we can't sustain this. I remember in the 90s, those were a big deal, though. Because, it used to be 5 nuggets for a dollar, too.
But I remember eating those nuggets 1997, and like, these are the best.
Yeah, they were
definitely. I eat them now, and I'm like, this sucks.
I
can't even eat them.
Well, maybe you're an older grease. You're older, and you can't take the grease. Maybe that has something to do with
maybe
it.
Maybe I'm not, you know.
Like a little 7-year-old kid that goes, ooh, nuggets!
Because
they did reduce them. It used to be 5 for 99 cents, remember?
They're not the same.
Don't think
so? Maybe because I'm 30 years old now. But
I think that might have something to do with it, too.
I just don't. I feel the quality has went down, though.
Possibly, but compare their nuggets to any other fast food place. Who's the best? Still Wendy's, right?
Burger King's by far the worst.
But Burger King's by far the worst when it comes to nuggets. They used to have, like, the chicken tenders weren't bad.
Well, they had these, like, chicken
strips. Yeah.
Those are fucking good.
That's what I'm saying. I like those.
Those have been discontinued about at least 10 years.
Those, yeah. Now they have like chicken fries or whatever. But
chicken fries are expensive.
But that's the problem. They have
they sell 10
they
nuggets
have
for
nuggets.
$1.50.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You're paying 8 cents for a nugget? I don't want to eat that.
Their nuggets are shit. They're by far the worst quality. But
why people fucking die when you're eating.
I know, that's scum.
8 cents for a piece of
it's
meat.
It's funny because when you go on, like, I was at Wendy's Burger King recently at like the drive-thru, and I'm like, oh wow, 10 nuggets for fucking like $1.50. That's a pretty good price. I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna buy those.
It's so cheap. I don't want to eat it.
No, it's so cheap. I don't want to eat it. It's definitely the lowest quality because their nuggets are always disappointing.
Great Depression that I'm.
But those little
50,
yeah,
10
exactly.
Nuggets?
That's a bargain. I tell you, if you're on a like a. If you only have $3 to eat any
made
given day.
Made with real chicken essence.
Yeah, made with real chicken essence. Mostly rib meat and filler. But
it's
but
the worst. Like,
those little tenders were good, though. Those were good. But those weren't a dollar, though. Those were more expensive. So I didn't have those as frequently.
Those tenders were the best.
Those tenders were good. But their nuggets were always the shittiest. I mean, and.
And they phased the tenders out because they probably paid for them because they were decent. Good.
Yeah.
So it was probably real chicken.
Yeah.
You know?
Those were decent. Those were good. They had a good flavor to them. But then compare it to McDonald's. Now,
Chick-fil-A nuggets, so those are phenomenal.
I like those. Now, Chick-fil-A's coming to Staten Island.
Now, where's this?
In the mall. You didn't hear?
This mall.
This mall is just it's taking over. They're putting a Chipotle.
Mall of America, fuck the Mall of America.
Fuck
them.
I was it's funny because I was just at the Mall of America, too. Now, that's a cool mall, though. I didn't even get through the whole thing. 3 levels, full amusement park. Dude, that's a cool mall.
I alone am increasing my business tenfold this mall. I have so many open bars opening up.
Oh, I can imagine.
God.
In the mall? Yeah, Dave and Buster's. I wonder if the mall is going to collapse under all this fucking construction. Like, they're not going to do the business?
Fucking money for.
Well, it's the fucking, it's the company that, you know, it's the company that leases it all to them. They're not even based in New York. They're Chicago based.
What I found was curious was, like, I had to go to Applebee's, give them a tap.
The one in the mall.
I'm like, they're going to be dead.
I was thinking that same thing. I was thinking that same
dead.
Thing. I don't even know how the Red Robin next to it's going to... Because it's
they're
so,
not going
to
survive.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
No. And Applebee's, that was there for 20, 30 years.
But I used to go... I went that Applebee's in the 90s for sure.
Now everything else?
Nah, it's... Because it's practically hidden as it is. Because it's in the back of the mall. Now they did so much construction in the
Walden
front.
Books.
Yeah, they're going the Walden Books way. Bye bye.
Let's make a bet. Who would last longer, Sears or Applebee's?
I'm gonna say Applebee's. I think Sears is going.
In that location, Sears does better. As a corporate whole, yeah. It will be Sears.
I think Sears is going first either way. But they're already in Chapter 11, I'm pretty sure, the parent company. Sears Holding Corporation, whatever it's called. But
I want to go there and buy
that. That particular Applebee's is definitely gonna not last because I was looking
it's
at.
It's almost like an ominous vibe. Like they know, like the storm's
they
coming.
They know it's exactly like these are the last this is few it exactly. Before. There's because it's funny because that part of the mall, the Staten Island Mall, is definitely the least traversed at this point because it's the back of the mall, and you don't have much there. I guess you have the JCPenney next to it. But really,
it's the worst wing of the mall.
It's
sure.
by far the worst wing because all the action now is at the front. So the front has all new food places. So who's going to choose Applebee's when you got you have the Shake Shack there now. You have a fully you have a doubled sized food court, and you had the Red Robin next to it that increased competition that used to be like a McDonald's and then they turned into a Red Robin. So the hard times on that Applebee's, but I've been there a number of times. But I'm not a fan of Applebee's anyway, so whatever.
Generic.
Very generic. When people say let's go to Applebee's, I'm like, I'd rather Fridays. I'd rather anywhere else.
Wild Wings for like quick beer and. You know.
Which one, Buffalo Wild Wings? That's my least favorite.
It's
I hate them the worst.
It's serviceable.
Nah, I don't consider it serviceable. I think it's a piece of shit.
It's serviceable. I actually don't mind it.
You don't mind it. I have never had a good experience there.
It's serviceable.
I've always had average, like below average or average. Average was the best experience I've had there. That's a piece of shit. But. So anywhere else? So we've passed through E3, we've gone through everything. Did we finish what we said about Lucasfilm? So they're the halting. They're not halting. What are they doing?
I read something. They're not halting. Maybe.
So Sean says I'm reading the article that Sean read now that IGN says Lucasfilm says multiple Star Wars standalone movies still in development despite yesterday's news.
You know, someone got canned for that leak. Someone got. Fucking fire.
Yeah, so Lucasfilm has denied those reports yesterday that the standalone Star Wars movies have been put on hold, confirming multiple, quote, spin-offs are still in active development.
I think Obi-Wan will be fucking awesome, because you get Ewan McGregor, and...
You think he'll be in the Obi-Wan one? He'll be in the Obi-Wan, but will he be in the Boba Fett?
No,
he'll be
Obi-Wan.
That's the one that people want to see. People, even diehard fans, are not that keen about a Boba Fett.
I think he'd be good when he's like in his late 40s.
Yeah, time. He's in the perfect age range. That's the one people want to see. And they'll put Maul in it. They've already brought Maul back for a fucking reason. Come on.
And,
you know that they're brought him back for that Obi-Wan.
I bet you Hutt's going to be in it because in the stories I read.
Yeah, yeah,
like
the
a big
comics.
Drought, and he kind of secretly overlooks Luke because he knows he's there, but he doesn't want Luke to meet him yet.
Yes.
So when like
Obi-Wan, yeah. When he's just making sure
Uncle Owen gets in trouble with like the bandits of the Tatooine, Obi-Wan like sorts it out because he knows he.
Yes,
needs
that loop. Was in the comics. I read that one. Yeah, that was like that was one of the first ones of the first.
I
line.
Think they're gonna try some stories like that
for sure. For
he's
sure.
gonna be laying low in Tatooine yes. and like overlooking a child Luke.
Absolutely, and they'll put a child Luke in there. He'll have beef with like local vagrants and like
and they're
scumbags,
be fighting crime lords.
Yes,
like Jabba and Darth
and
Maul.
Exactly, because Maul's
and
a crime
that's
lord.
That's why did Maul make an appearance?
Exactly, they brought back Maul for a reason.
And plus, Maul has his vendetta because he wrote.
Exactly, they have a beef, even though their beef was pretty.
Foreshadowing.
Even though their beef was cosmetic, I mean, it's not like they had like a personal beef.
He hates the Emperor more, but still.
Yeah, but he still. Hey, you chop me in half, and you're an enemy.
First, Retrocade called the Obi-Wan.
Retrocade's calling it. Darth Maul and Obi-Wan, they're going to be in it, and it's pretty much going to go how we say. I just hope they do it good, and I think that's the one people are looking to see.
But I think also Ewan McGregor is a way bigger actor than the Solo nobody.
Exactly.
And
like,
he's not going to fuck it up.
And he's been in three of them before, so it's going to be great nostalgia for people to see.
He did very great job in the
He was one of the, that's what I'm saying, one of the five things about the prequels that people like,
that
him as Obi-Wan was one of the
Fargo,
best.
He did Fargo, which came out recently.
Yeah, no, he's fucking a great actor,
and I
dude.
Think he's... salivating to play Obi-Wan again.
He said it on Twitter. He's like, I would love to get back in the cloak again. He said it. You know? What do you think? He wouldn't take a $20 million paycheck or a $10 million paycheck to do that role? Take it instantly.
And if you look at his career, he'll probably regard it as Obi-Wan the rest of his life. And
he's already did it three times.
No issue with it.
Yeah, no, he seems to be fine with it. I've heard him after episode 3 say whatever about it. Because like there was a lot of flack after, you know, the prequels. So he was just like, well, whatever. I'm Obi-Wan, whatever. But now I think he's just being a little nostalgic himself. They know people liked what he did. He was one of the best parts of the prequels for sure.
Disney bucks.
He wants those big Disney paychecks. So he's definitely interested. They might even do an Obi-Wan trilogy, although I think that might be taking it too far, but they could do it.
What about a Tarkin piece? I think that'd be really,
they could
I'd
do
be
that.
Like
what are they
going to
do?
All right,
but I hope if they don't CG him. I think go in new directions, like they're doing the Benioff and Weiss Game of Thrones type of thing. They're gonna do something like that for TV.
There's a lot of big. The whole Netflix made for TV shit's coming big time.
Oh yeah, so you know Star Wars is gonna fucking.
And that's why Star Wars is trying to buy Fox so they can do their X-Men.
Exactly,
and all
they
want to
do it
shit.
All. They want to stick their fucking snout and all that shit. So, but all right. So all the news yesterday, Lucasfilm is denying. So we'll see. You know, because I put out a video yesterday, a live video, real quick to say my piece on that. And yesterday it seemed to be not confirmed, but it was reports with very close to Lucasfilm. So we'll see how that goes.
Honestly, Solo wasn't great, but I want to see more standalones.
But it wasn't bad. Yeah.
I want to see more standalones, and I hope they don't axe it.
Don't butcher them, though, and take your time with them.
Do Boba Fett and do Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
At least we'll do those two.
We'll see where they go from there. Even though
Yoda might be a little ambitious.
I could go without the Boba Fett one, perfectly honest, but because I don't know what they could do for two hours.
Or it could be very
disappointing. Exactly. So it really depends on how they go. But that's pretty much it for this week. I guess next week we'll be coming in with a big Jurassic World review. We'll see where that goes. And I'll be signing off for Sean here as he runs to the bathroom after 7 beers. That's the episode is done. Everybody, till next week when we do Jurassic World, keep watching the stars.